The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Humph by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Training camp, or I should say mini camp, is in full swing. We just came back from practice. I'm here early. Andy will be joining us. Eric and Paul will be joining us soon as they get back, to talk about everything that went on today. The way the schedule ended, that's why we had to start at 2 o'clock. They had practice up until this point. Now they have interviews, but Andy's going to cut short the interviews. He's going to hop on the radio. And Paul and Eric will stay behind and come on a little later once the interview portion of minicamp is over. But I have to say it was excellent attendance today. As you probably have read on Twitter or elsewhere, Brian Waters is pretty much the only person that isn't there in one way or another. And I did read some reports today that, you know, if he didn't show up today, it would constitute a holdout, but it was addressed today in Bill Belichick's press conference that he was excused for personal reasons. Now, those reasons could be simply he just doesn't want to come to practice and he wants more money, but for whatever reason, you can't say that it's a holdout. So Brian Waters not there, a couple guys rehabbing like Mankins and Vollmer, but for the most part, everybody's here. So we're going to talk about everything that went on in practice. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. A lot has happened since the last show, and it seems like it all happened right after the last show. Ocho Cinco was released and since then picked up by the Miami Dolphins. And I guess big news for Patriots fans, Rob Gronkowski was signed to a $50 million-plus extension. So Rob Gronkowski will be a New England Patriot for the foreseeable future, and we'll talk about that, and maybe we'll talk about how Wes Welker feels about that, because, you know, he's got to be looking at that and saying, you know, what about me? But it's an interesting move by the Patriots. For all those people out there who think they're cheap, it shows that they're not cheap, they're just calculating. They will spend the money when they think it's a sure thing. And, you know, obviously there's no such thing as a sure thing, but they weigh the percentages, and if they think it's worth spending the money, they will take out that checkbook. So we'll talk about all that. Andy's here now. Andy, what did you think about practice?
Practice?
Yeah.
I thought the offense still lacked a little bit in terms of execution. Building off last week, that was the story coming out of last Thursday's practice when they had to run the group laps three different times. But I want to give a quick injury update. Nothing which I would deem major, but in literally like the last 2 minutes of practice, last 5 minutes of practice, Jonathan Finene went over to Jim Whalen with a left knee injury, and Whalen did all like the ACL, MCL tests, and Finene did not go back in, just stood there on the sideline the rest.
but he stood. You know,
right.
They let him
they
get
didn't
up.
Send him into the locker room.
Chandler Jones,
uh-oh,
your first round pick.
Uh-oh.
His right knee.
Uh-oh.
Jim Whalen did a bunch of ACL, MCL type tests, looked at it, and he did not go in. And I saw him talking to Patricia and pointing down at his knee, and Patricia just kind of talking about it. But again, he was walking around. So nothing that I would deem major, but just keep an eye on for maybe tomorrow if those guys aren't out there. They get a little nicked up late in practice.
These are always the ones where I say, oh, it's nothing major, and then they go on IR.
Right.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing literally just happened. They worked on punt return right before they did conditioning. They're doing conditioning right now. It's wrapping up. Long practice, by the way. Ran a little
yeah,
longer
I guess
than expected.
So, yeah.
You know, 20 minutes later than expected. Patrick Chung was back with Julian Edelman returning punts.
Huh.
Something I do not recall seeing that kind of speed. He took the first one to the house, you know, in a non-contact practice.
Yeah, right.
His second opportunity, he fielded at the 2-yard line, and Scott O'Brien said, "Patrick, look where you are!"
Right.
And then Chung spiked the ball because, you know, obviously it was a poor decision.
Right.
But I thought that was notable. I don't recall seeing that, and we've talked about Edelman has been the only returner really on kickoffs or punts that's done anything, mostly on punts. Just be interesting to see if Chung could develop into that, although you could argue he's
right
valuable on defense. I'm not sure how much you want him back there on punts.
While I was out there, it seemed to be a little bit of a skirmish that developed.
Ryan Wendell and Rob Ninkovich had a little scuffle, and Bill Belichick made them both run 2 laps, which I turned to Paul and thought was funny because Wendell trailed behind Ninkovich, obviously the fatter guy. But wouldn't it have been funny if, like, when they were at the other end of the field, they just started fighting
right
again at the under the goalpost?
Wendell's got a mean streak in him.
Oh, he's got a little scrappy.
That guy's got a little mean in him.
And there, in that portion, there was a lot kind of going on. Guys jumping offside. Kyle Love, Gerard Warren got penalty laps. Aaron Hernandez got a penalty lap. And one of them, I think it might have been Love's, when he jumped offside, Ryan Wendell immediately jumped up and gave like the lasso home run signal to do a lap, and there seemed to be a little bit of a aggression in that period.
Okay. Maybe they were looking for that.
That's a good thing.
Oh, certainly. Well, yeah, with no pads, it's you gotta temper it a little bit. But the thing I've taken away so far, because you don't see a ton out there, Justin Francis is my undrafted rookie to keep an eye on. He continues to just be getting reps with guys named Ninkovich, Love, Will Fork, guys who you expect to be starters or backups. Well, he's been a defensive end in a lot of those groupings. So Justin Francis doesn't look the part, has skinny, flabby arms, undrafted. I mean, nothing jumps out at you other than the guys he's taking reps with, and that's just a name to keep an eye on moving forward.
Okay.
We talked about that the other day, Andy.
Yeah.
Him and Forston have been getting a lot of run.
Today it was mostly Francis, and I don't know what they see in him, but he's getting an early chance to impress.
Is he the Rutgers guy?
Yes.
That's what they see in him.
Earlier Could today, be. Bill Belichick had...
And another thing.
Yes.
I'm going to say this is maybe a PFW exclusive. I don't know how many other people will note this. Billy Yates, former guard here.
Yes.
Has BY shorts on and appears to be some sort of coaching assistant, maybe a member of the minority coaching program. And DP, David Patton, working with the wide receivers with DP shorts as some sort of assistant coach. So a couple faces from the past.
Okay.
Back, and I need to check with PR, but a lot of times these ex-players are part of a minority coaching program.
Yeah, and that's a summer program.
Yeah.
They don't
go
through the season.
Right.
Right.
Some do. I mean, I think they've had guys that they then kind of re-upped, quote-unquote.
Didn't Peppers start that way?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't think there's any – I mean, if you want to keep a guy, you can keep him. But
right,
the program, yeah, is a summer thing.
Right. Okay, so that's a good note. There was another guy there with a cap or visor.
North Carolina State?
Yeah.
Coach.
Is that who that was?
He's from NC State, according to his hat. My guess is, you know, Tom O'Brien went from there. I mean, went from BC to there.
Yeah.
When Dan Copen saw him, he came over, gave him a big handshake. So I'm guessing he was also a former BC assistant, whoever he is. It wasn't Tom O'Brien,
right,
to my knowledge. It was
somebody
else.
Right.
I know what Tom O'Brien looks like, I think.
Right.
It wasn't him. But somebody, I think, who had NC State ties now and formerly
And
Boston
he was just
College.
Looked like a visitor. He didn't have...
Oh, yeah. He was just walking around, watching, taking
right
notes. Another thing, you know, if we're going to build off of the last three plus this, Shane Vereen getting a chance. Every time, or I shouldn't say every time, but for the most part, when I see them do no huddle, some down and distance, various passing situations, he is the running back behind Tom Brady. He is definitely getting chances to run with the big boys, so to speak, in his second season here. And not a lot of run in that area for Woodhead. Now, they may know, you know,
but
we know
is,
we have in Woodhead.
But he is getting a lot of reps, Woodhead is.
Not today he didn't.
No?
And for the most part, when I see these passing down sub reps, it's been Vereen.
Okay.
And Vereen caught a couple touchdowns today, a couple passes out of the backfield in like a 2-minute drill.
So I saw
did.
McDaniels working specifically with Woodhead for a little bit on his route running.
He was I'm talking about team drills with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Mostly Shane Vereen.
Okay.
Which is interesting and I think intriguing.
Yeah.
To those of us who believe that Woodhead maybe peaked, you know what you have with him, and maybe Vereen offers more of an upside.
Well, they certainly, I'm sure they want to see what, you know, this guy that they drafted can do.
Right.
So they're eager to get him out there. Right.
He's a second-round pick in his second season.
Yeah.
Using, say, I know it's unfair, but using, say, the Rob Gronkowski timeline, you're an all-pro.
Yeah.
And you have the best season in the history of the NFL for a tight end in your second season. So, you
know. Chalk it up. Andy's calling Shane Vereen all-time rushing leader.
No. But I'm saying in the NFL, year two is.
The year two leap.
But beyond that is pooper, get off the pot. Another one. Wow, I just got a lot just bouncing around my cranium here, and there's a lot of room in there for it to bounce.
Right.
Jermaine Cunningham got quite high praise from Bill Belichick in the press conference. Very good offseason, looks good. I wouldn't know, he wasn't out on the practice field today, so.
Well,
I don't want to speculate anything because, God forbid, Pro Football Talk might take it and run with it and say we're reporting accounts are indicating anything.
I would
Florio,
say, you know,
that's you.
And I know that was talked about
bitch.
Today. Someone specifically asked. It didn't come, you know, unsolicited. Bill Belichick.
Well, nothing Bill says comes unsolicited.
Well, I'm just explaining. Somebody specifically asked about Jermaine Cunningham.
Right. And he gave him a very high praise.
And
for all we know,
but I think that anyone like a Jermaine Cunningham who's fighting better have a great offseason.
You would hope.
Because that's something that is entirely in your control.
Well, and plus, what I just said about year two is even more so about year three.
Yeah. But I
Pooper,
mean,
get off the
your offseason is under your control. And if you're a guy fighting for a spot, you better have a great offseason.
I agree.
You know, so I
control the things you can control. And one of those is just effort, showing up, work.
So I'm not surprised that Belichick said
but
that.
I'm surprised he's not out there.
When did he go on IR last year?
November. It was late, pretty late in the year.
Okay, because I was going to say, is it like year two or year three for him? Because I know he didn't play a lot before he went on IR.
Yeah, no, he didn't play hardly at all.
But this is year three.
Oh, this is year three.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the chance to play. He just didn't play.
Right. I didn't remember how early in the season it was. So.
He had the chance to play. He just did nothing. He was irrelevant.
So, okay, so that
Brian Hoyer struggled today through back-to-back interceptions in one drill.
It was pretty windy. I don't know if that had anything
to
do
with
it. Not
good for a guy like him with a chicken arm.
Right.
But Brady, I continue. I mean, it's obvious, but the huge difference between when Brady's out there and when the other two are out there is just evident.
Although in arm strength, Mallett is everything Brady is.
Well, it's
not
like
more.
I said to Paul, he threw a deep ball to maybe Hernandez. Somebody threw the wind. It was fine, except it was 5 yards past Hernandez.
Right.
You can't just prove how strong your arm is. You have to get it to the receiver wherever he is. So. Still something to be desired, in my opinion, with both those backup quarterbacks.
All right. We'll get the thoughts of Eric and Paul when they get back from the interviews.
Was Eric out there?
Yeah, he was out there. I saw him. But what are your thoughts on the release of Ocho and him going to Miami?
The release, I told you the first OTA, as soon as he broke the huddle and he didn't know where to go, I was done with him.
Right.
And I flicked the switch because I thought there was a chance. Off season, all that. I held out high hopes, and I flicked the switch. I think they may have done the same thing. Yeah. I think they may have literally done the same thing. It's over. We gave you now the off season, and you're the same guy. It's not going to work. Let's move on. As far as Miami, he may make their team because they have no receivers, but I have to think their scheme is going to be somewhat complex coming from Green Bay with Philbin. So I don't know how he's going to learn a West Coast-rooted system where there's a lot of timing. And I mean, he's back to where he started.
And you always talk about, you know, guys that go from one, you know, division team to another within the division, and, you know, they're getting information. But that can't be the case with Ocho Cinco because he has no info to give them.
I mean, he wouldn't know whether it was left or right.
We'll know if Ocho gave them info if the first time the Patriots play the Dolphins, their cornerbacks are lining up in the wrong place. Then we'll know that Ocho gave them information.
Good, Fred.
Good.
But I,
I won't be stunned if he catches passes against the Patriots and makes plays. I still think he has something physically.
I mean, if you just tell him go out,
right?
He can do that.
See, one part of me says they won't do that. I don't think that's the Green Bay system, just like it's not the Patriots. Then the other part of me says they have no receivers. Philbin has been openly discussing how bad their receivers have been through OTAs and minicamp or whatever. So he's going to get a chance because they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Is he their new number one? I mean, they have, what, Devon Bess and Brian Hartline other than
Bess is definitely better than him. Hartline is probably better than him at this point. I don't know. But he's going to be in the mix, I think, because they don't have anybody.
Peter King wrote that he signed for $925,000.
So my guess is that's the veteran minimum.
Yeah. So,
I mean, he has been around like 11 years or more-ish.
I mean, you know, got to give him credit, Ocho, for just keep going at it.
Well, it's great for him, too. It's his hometown. He can, live it up, be on Hard Knocks, continue his reality TV empire. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And he's not a bad guy. I'm not rooting against him.
That he reported his own signing?
Yeah, on the OCCN. I laughed, though. Somebody wrote that, and then Adam Schefter confirmed the report.
Well, the guy who actually signed it
confirmed the report.
Yeah.
You can't get a better source than the man with the pen who signed the contract.
The Gronkowski extension kind of came out of nowhere. There was really no, rumbling that it was in the works or anything like that.
Speculative rumbling.
You asked the question today, who kind of initiated that? Was it you guys making it a priority? Or was it Drew Rosenhaus? And, of course, Bill didn't answer that. but I thought it was a good question.
I thought he had a decent answer.
Yeah.
Like, vaguely. I mean, we have these discussions all the time, and then when both sides want to do it, it's kind of like his trade with Andy Reid. He wanted to do it, and we wanted to do it, so we did it.
Right.
I mean, they came to an agreement, but clearly this was a priority for them. We had speculated about it, that it was coming, that they were going to look to sign him because it makes sense. And I know people say, the back injury, but it just makes good business, especially the way they did it. It's an extension, first of all. So you still have the two rookie years.
Right.
You gave him bonus money, but you added on 2 years before there's another, is it a roster bonus, whatever it is, after that fourth season to decide to continue with what is, I believe, $37 million of the $54 million is in the final 4 years. So in a lot of ways, it's a two-year extension that added $16 million, $15 million to the deal
or something. It gives the player... Makes him a millionaire before he was scheduled to be one.
Well,
a multimillionaire.
Let's just look at Sebastian Vollmer. Same type of issue. Missed an entire season with a back injury. Very good player. Not as good as Gronkowski, but now has back injuries again. Now, he's looking for money because he's coming to the end of his rookie deal and has a back issue.
Right.
Gronkowski has money. $8 million signing bonus, whatever's... I mean, there's $15 million guaranteed or $14 million. He has some, if he gets hurt tomorrow, if it all comes crashing down, at least he cashed in a little rather than the two $500,000 salaries he was going to get over the next 2 years. Now, the Patriots gain too, because they have him potentially under their control for the next 8 years. And if he legitimately is the best tight end in football and stays healthy every year, well, they have a fine deal.
Yep.
Because at worst, they're paying him very good tight end money for the length of the deal. In all likelihood, in the next 8 years, I know people are saying the cap is going to remain steady. At some point,
somebody
it's
will
go
make
up.
More.
So, I think it makes a lot of sense for both sides.
Yes,
he gets his money in case. I mean, if he gets hurt, back injury pops up again. Well, at least I got my money.
And I think for the Patriots, it was just very clear as to who this guy was. There was no question about his ability. This was no fluke. That they had to wonder, do we wait another year and see if he can do it again? I think in their minds, they felt this is who he is. Numbers may not he may never have as many touchdowns as he had last year, or yards, but they think that this is the player, that we just saw. This is who he's going to be.
This is the guy we're going to build our offense around. This guy is going to be a core player in our offense for the better part of the next decade, with or without Tom Brady, by the way.
Right.
This is the kind of guy
if
you have Brian Hoyer, quote unquote, playing, this is the kind of guy you want. You want a security blanket.
Huge target.
You don't have to be perfect.
Right.
Get the ball in his area.
That last catch you made at the end of last season, Hoyer threw it like 3 yards over his head.
Right.
He just reached up and snagged it.
So, I mean, to me, there's not really a lot of risk here. You're rewarding a guy. It's the way it should have worked, I guess, for Welker.
but didn't because of timing and age and all that. This is the right time. He's 23 years old.
Right.
He's the best in the business. The prime of his career is ahead of him. He's proven he is everything you want him to be, except, you know, maybe sort of the off the field stuff, but he may mature into that. And that people always say, oh, the Patriots don't set the bar at any one position, or they don't pay the highest pay. Yeah, they do. When he's the best.
Right.
When the guy is the best, they pay the best.
Right.
Brady was the best, they paid him. Mankins was the best, they paid him. Will Fork was the best or among the best, they paid him. They don't pay Deion Branch among the best when they know he's not among the best. It looks like they don't pay Wes Welker the best when he's not the best.
Right.
I mean, I think their formula is pretty simple. If you're the best, we'll pay you like the best. If you're not, we won't.
Or you can even get more subtle about that and say, if you're the best at a position that's not really a position, you know, if you're the best slot receiver, it's not really something that's valued as just the best receiver, because he's not the best receiver. You couldn't say Gronkowski. If Gronkowski was the best blocking tight end, they wouldn't pay him.
He would not have $54 million. You're right.
You have to do it all really well. And as much as we love Wes, and he does that slot position well, you know, he's not an outside guy. He's not a deep threat. He's not a speed burner. So, and that's what makes, you know, a wide receiver the best. And he's not. And he's, again, this goes back to a conversation. We don't know what Wes Welker's looking for.
Right.
He might be looking for the best money. And, yeah, I mean, if I'm the Patriots, I'm not going to do that either.
But it's also, when you're 23, the best money is the best.
Well, that, yeah.
You're at the actual right. best.
Now it's,
when you're 31 and you say, I want the best, well, you don't get the best for 26. You get the best for 31.
Unless you're like a Tom Brady at that kind of position.
Yeah, you know? That's a little different. The quarterbacks are always going to be different than every other position.
Yeah.
What does this mean for when Aaron Hernandez's contract runs up? That's do you think they want to do them separately so that they could pay both of them?
They try to stagger all their big contracts. They try to lay it out so one, maybe two a year. It's where they got into trouble, not in trouble, but with Seymour. With Seymour and Wilfork were coming up. Mankins was up. There were just too many big contracts, and they decided Seymour was the one to go. They could get value. But I mean, on one level, yes, they're directly related. They came in together. I think they want both of them. I think they will look to keep both of them. But on the other, I would argue Gronkowski falls under the best, I just said. Hernandez falls under very good player.
Because of exactly what we're just talking about. You know, Hernandez can't block like Gronkowski.
Right.
He can certainly run. He's faster than Gronkowski.
He's a combo player.
He doesn't have the hands that Gronkowski has.
But I would even argue that. He's not even in Wes Welker's league of the specialization. His hands are not as good. He's not as consistently healthy. He's had injuries both of his first 2 years. So there are detractors from his value. To me, there is nothing right now detracting from Rob Gronkowski's value other than, I guess, the fear of the back.
Right.
Anyone who ever has a back injury, I guess that's always in the back of your mind.
But he went two full years of a lot of reps without it even being an issue.
But so did Vollmer. Vollmer went last year
of
college.
We don't know that. We don't know. He may not have missed time. We don't know if it was an issue.
Well, then we don't know that it wasn't an issue with Gronkowski.
Oh, you can tell from Gronkowski. From a lineman, you can't, you know, it's hard because they're kind of stiff anyway.
If you can argue you can't tell, then you can argue you can't tell for either.
What I would argue is if
Gronkowski's never missed anything due to the back. Even in fact, he's landed on his head and looked like anybody should have been hurt. Whereas Vollmer has went 2 years, but now has missed significant time.
My argument with Gronkowski is if there was an issue, we would have known about it.
And didn't Vollmer just have minor back surgery in the past couple of days?
I wouldn't give him any money.
Yeah.
Scares to death when a guy has multiple years.
Bedard and Breakfast reported that.
What does that mean?
Bedard and Breakfast.
Bed and Breakfast.
Bedard and Breakfast, I call him.
Have you told that to him?
No, that's what I call his morning notes, Bedard
and Breakfast.
It's terrible. You don't like it?
No.
Why not?
It's terrible.
What are you looking at the door for?
Because Fat Man coming through.
Oh, Paul's here. Back from interviews. Webradio at Patriots.com
sure
is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Paul.
You missed Fred's opening monologue. Yeah. I almost fell asleep when I was here.
Jim Rome.
I was literally dozing off, and he goes, Andy, you got into practice notes.
Shut up. So, Paul.
Freddie.
We talked about practice and Ocho Cinco and what?
Can you guys hear? Oh,
what?
All right.
And Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker. in the practice. So let's start off. Let's start off at the top with
you. We talked about how don't call it a holdout because it's not a holdout with Brian Waters. Make sure you never refer to it as a holdout.
Well, technically it isn't. I mean, if the coach stands up there and says he's been excused for personal reasons, then it's not a holdout.
What if the personal reason is he's holding out?
Yeah.
But he's not excused.
Well, if Bill excuses
him,
he is.
Yeah, I know, but holdout in an excused absence is completely diametrically opposed. You can't have the same. Can't have it in, you know.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, then someone's not telling you the truth.
I think you can excuse a holdout. You know it's coming. No, I think Jack Del Rio could say,
well, once it's excused,
Maurice Jones-Drew is excused for personal reasons. The personal reason is he wants a new contract, and we're not trying to make this into a big deal.
Okay, but
it'd be pretty strange if Jack Del Rio was doing it.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean. I don't know. Mike Mularkey.
Once it's excused, it no longer becomes a holdout. That's it. Period.
That's fact.
And wait a minute.
That's not true.
I understand what your point is about the excused
actions.
Okay,
so then we don't have to argue about it.
But you can't eliminate the holdout.
That's not what we do.
You can't eliminate holdout as a possibility based on what you heard today.
I cannot eliminate the fact that he may want more money, and until he gets it, he doesn't want to come. But
which is a holdout.
But if Bill says, "All right, look, we'll deal with that later,"
right.
I'll talk to you in July. I don't consider that a holdout. As long as the coach says it's okay, it's not a holdout.
Okay.
I could use one. I'm very dry.
Me too. I get a tickle in my throat.
After that double talk, I can imagine.
That was the whole 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah. We're not gonna just assume the worst of every situation. This is Patriots.com.
What is your read on a personal?
So it'd be better.
I think what he's saying is, he's probably saying, I don't know if I want to play, blah, blah, blah.
So that's better to you than that he wants more money.
I'm not saying either one is better.
You just said we're going to expect the worst.
You
said I don't want to expect the worst.
Andy asked me, what do I think it is, right? What, was that your question?
I mean, when we hear personal, it could be an eye doctor appointment, as was reported with Ocho Cinco. It could be a birth of a child, anything.
The fact that he hasn't been here for anything.
Trial, like Ted Washington.
Right.
No, what was his name last year? Fat guy,
Hainsworth.
A lot of rust.
Hainsworth.
Albert Hainsworth.
The fact that he
Twice
hasn't,
today,
the
Fred
fact that he hasn't been here for anything, tells me that this guy just doesn't like this off-season stuff, and he'll look for any excuse not to come. And Belichick knows that's the kind of guy he is, because that's the kind of guy he was in Kansas City.
That is true.
And I'd rather let him have his way here and hold out hope that he'll come back and be the player he was last year, rather than get into this pissing war with this guy who I know who he is. I'm not going to change him in a season. So just let him do what he does.
That's all fine and dandy. But when you skip something that is deemed mandatory, doesn't that mean anything?
It's mandatory in that in the rules, if a guy doesn't show up, you can fine him.
No, it's mandatory. It means you have to be here. That's what mandatory means.
Right, and if he's not, you can fine him. And the Patriots are choosing Bill Belichick to say, okay, look, don't come. We won't fine you. It's okay. We'll deal with it later.
Dealing with pushing it off doesn't change the point that he's not here.
But that's fine.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure out the reason he's not here.
Right,
that's all.
And we don't know. And I think if Bill Belichick's mind, if he shows up for training camp, he's fine with it.
What are you kidding me?
But that's okay.
I think it's okay.
Logan Mankins held out and he showed up for the eighth game of the season or whatever, and Belichick was fine with it.
No, it's okay.
It was still a holdout for the first seven games.
I meant it's okay if you think that.
Thank you.
No, I'm saying that's
you got the stamp of approval to think what you want.
No, 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 no. That's not my point. It started with your whole line of, well, I don't want to just assume the worst. Well, I got to tell you, your scenario that you just unfolded to me is far worse than him holding out right now.
Okay.
Because that tells me a guy who maybe doesn't want to play, as opposed to a guy who looks like he wants more money.
Well, maybe he didn't want to play last year, too, and everything worked out fine.
That doesn't mean it will always work out fine if he doesn't want
to
play.
But I think that's the kind of guy this guy is.
How do you know that he skips spring camps because he doesn't know if he wants to play in the past, as opposed to he skips spring camps maybe to get a little bit more money every year?
It could be. That could be also.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't know what his personal reason is, so we can speculate and wonder, although, God knows that might get us in trouble with somebody.
That's true. Overly speculative people like us get on Pro Football
Talk. I know is that Bill Belichick stood up there and said it's an excused absence.
And that's all we need
to
know.
Exactly.
That's all we need to know.
If he had said, look, I don't know where the player is, I haven't talked to him, then there's a problem. And he said that about some other players in the past.
Right.
So
I agree with you on that. That's all we need to know is that Bill says that he's been excused for personal reasons. That's fine.
Right.
So I'm not eliminating the possibilities that it could be. It could be that he doesn't want to be here.
Absolutely.
It could be that he's mulling retirement. It could be that he wants more money.
Right.
It could be a lot of things. It could be something
daughter got
like
married.
Yeah. It could be something
we have no
family
argument
related.
There. We have no argument there.
Climbing Mount Everest.
We have no argument.
But I think we started off this whole thing.
Climbing Mount Everest.
Swimming the English Channel.
But I think we started this whole thing off by you claiming that Bill saying that he was excused eliminates the possibility of it being a holdup.
Well, I think any of those scenarios you just mentioned could be true, but as long as Belichick has no problem with it, I don't have a problem with it.
Bill
that's an
could
interesting
be
way to go through
Fred
life.
Up the pooper, well, and he would say, what? I don't have a problem with it because Bill
has
doesn't.
A problem with it. I don't have a problem with it.
Hey, that's the way it is.
are correct. Bill, that's all we need to know. Bill says he's excused for personal reasons. And I also, by the way, and I know Andy agrees with me on this, and I think you do too, Fred. I am not overly concerned with the offensive line, with or without Brian. I want Brian Waters back. I agree with what Bill said today. I think he had a terrific season last year, played an awful lot of football for us at a high level. I want him back. But if he doesn't come back, it's not the end of the world. I think they have replacements in place. I think you have Mankins, Conley, Copen, and some sort of – I mean, we know Mankins will be the left guard. The other two, who knows? I mean, I haven't really seen Copen move around much. Have you seen him play any reps at guard? I haven't.
I have not. I've seen all the other guys rotate through. We talked about it today.
Even Nick McDonald today.
Nick McDonald and went I think left guard, center, right guard.
And, Paul, I think that the team probably agrees with you about that. Otherwise, I think they might be a little bit more upset that he's not here, or at least pushing him to make a decision quicker or get a commitment out of him. Earlier, I think they agree with you. I don't think that.
Well,
they...
how could you not? It can't get any worse than it was last year.
Right.
When he was not a member of your team
until the week of the first
game.
Right.
So even if he does nothing and shows up at the same time, he has a year under his belt playing with the guys, knowing the same playbook. I mean, it can't get worse than last year.
And unlike last year at this time, you probably have a pretty good idea that he's going to be part of your team.
Sure.
You know, or at least one way or the other.
So
hopefully he's in better shape than Bo's.
I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing analysis type articles about the state of the offensive line. I kind of side with Paul. If the worst case happens with each of these guys in question, yeah, of course,
then you might be in trouble. But that's
a lot of bad things that have to happen.
Right.
Remember a couple years ago we were talking about if the Patriots to have a good season, all these things had to happen.
Right.
And they did. But that's usually not the case where you line up all these things and they all happen a certain way to make it either good or bad. You know, a lot of bad things would have to happen for the Patriots offensive line to really be in trouble.
That new offensive lineman we just signed yesterday, Ingersoll, what's his name? Gray Rugemer-like.
He bites the balls off of goats?
Well, I didn't talk to him, so I don't know if he has that. But he kind of looked like he could have been his
he
brother.
He bends over and says, is there a hole in my butt?
Yeah, he used to do that in the... In the locker room, naked.
Excuse me.
Cleavage and camel toe. He'd bend over and say, is there a hole in my ass?
Okay.
You forgot.
Oh, Shane Vereen. Did you talk to him?
I did talk to Shane Vereen.
What do you get from the apparent lead third down back based on the last 2 weeks?
Feels very comfortable and very excited to have been able to take part in an offseason program with structure. I think he was missing that last year. Talk to him about physical or mental.
Time out, Paul. What was that reaction?
Well, whenever a player says it's...
There was none last year. It was a shot at the lockout, not another team.
You don't think so?
Move on. No, it was not.
His history of minicamps?
His only minicamp was not existent last year.
Right. That's true.
Okay. Right. I'm going to call a quick timeout.
He turned that into a shot against like a faux team that doesn't exist.
The Cal Bears, evidently. I don't know.
Jeff Tedford.
You do know that he's a second-year guy.
I do.
Okay.
Do you know who Shane Vereen is?
Who did you confuse him with?
Ben Vereen's cousin.
Who did you confuse
him
with?
Is he like third or fourth cousin?
Yes, but who did you confuse him with? Because clearly you were thinking of somebody else.
Joseph Addai. You thought it was Joe Addai.
That's okay.
No.
You thought it was Joe Addai. It was a shot at the Colts and you were giddy.
I just wanted to know who you confused him with, because we all get confused.
No, I was just saying that, you know, in the past, maybe he hasn't had as much structure as he had this year.
And I never get confused.
But he hasn't.
The rest
literally.
Of the world just doesn't understand me.
The 1 year he played pro football, there was no off season. This is the second year.
Well, in the pros, obviously.
He's talking about spring practice.
I mean, there's rules to prevent it in college, even though I'm sure that they're broken rampantly.
They have spring practices in...
Yeah, for a week.
Okay. Well, that's all this is, a few
weeks.
This
is 9 weeks. Anyway, he was very excited about that. I asked him about, is it physical or mental, you know, that you benefit more from with that stuff. And both, obviously, just, you know, over the top with how much more comfortable he is in the offense and the concepts and what he needs to do. Learned a lot from Benny last year and Kevin Falk. You talked a lot about Kevin, about being a professional. just about what it takes to be a professional and prepare. So I wonder if maybe the hamstring problems last year were a little bit of a result of not being quite in as good a shape as he could have been.
Because at Cal, they didn't have a good conditioning program.
Well, you never know. But now Benny's not here. Kevin, you know, right now isn't here.
Always been very comfortable catching the football, something that's been second nature to him.
He's natural.
Yeah, so that's...
He's going to have a big year. I'm predicting it.
Unfortunately, Tom Curran and I had a nice little interview, you know, invaded upon.
By?
You know, everybody. No, to no surprise to you...
This is where Paul rips.
Andy, here we go. No, Andy, no surprise to you, Tom was quite upset.
Oh, really? Did he headbutt anybody?
Visibly?
Yeah, because when he requested him, and when he did so, he asked if anybody else had, and no one else had.
So you invaded upon Tom's.
But I requested him after, you know, when I talked to Aaron, I said, I'm going to try to talk to him too.
Salkin, assistant director of media relations.
And I went over to Tom when Tom, because I actually.
CSNNE.
When Shane was coming down the stairs.
Breen, New England Patriots running back.
Are you really?
Well, you turn into Bert Breer and every name is a first name.
But
now.
I had already mentioned.
Well, I said to Aaron that Tom had requested Shane.
Did I not already mention Tom Curran? I mean, I didn't feel like.
Not often enough for people that are listening that don't know all these guys like we do. Use last names, Bert.
All right.
Wow.
Now the address now police.
He's just projecting his hatred of other people
shot
on
at
you.
Someone else.
Anyway, I tried to get Vereen when he came down the stairs, and they brought him over to the side where Tom was waiting. So I made sure. I mean, I'm sorry, where Curran was waiting, and I asked Curran if it was okay if I came in with him in Vereen.
Yeah,
and Tom said it was okay. Tom Curran of CSNN.
Yeah, so Curran said it was okay if Perillo came in.
Exactly, right. And the two of us talked to him for about a minute before we got swarmed. Yeah. And Curran was not very happy. You know, Tom Curran from CSNN.
He was a bit of a hothead anyway. So he's Paul like.
It's very hard for him not to verbalize his.
Well, I went over and I said, I'm sorry. He goes, well, I knew that was going to happen. I was like, well. I said, I did request him, and I know that you requested him also. He goes, oh, you request? Once he found out that I requested him, it was sort of like, okay. Yeah. You know, like, you know, evidently he's the only one who watches practice, you know.
Speaking of chain, where's Scalavino? Oh, there he is.
He talked to Ninkovich and I think Marcus Cannon maybe. Kyle Arrington was talking. I'm not sure if Eric was involved in that.
Because Cannon's not talking to you, right? You're
not I don't know if he's talking to me or not. I haven't requested him since.
So Vereen's feeling comfortable. Andy mentioned before you got here that he felt that Vereen is the guy that you need to look for as far as, you know, established guys that have been on the team, not just the new guys, but that would see an increase in play this year.
Well, certainly based on what we saw last Thursday and then today, I would say he's a guy who's making a push for some significant playing time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I agree with what Andy said.
The Patriots are pushing him to get some.
And I'm predicting now double-digit touchdowns for Shane Vereen.
I would agree with what Andy said about just his comfort level catching the football.
Rushing and receiving. You know,
looks very good.
Double-digit touchdowns total.
Okay.
Maybe even a return in there.
That would be great. But and you think it'll be mostly in a third down role? Or do you think he'll ever be?
Well, with this team, the third down role is a first down role. It's all the time.
That's a good point. We don't really label them.
I mean, Danny Woodhead's a starter some of the time. And, I mean, Vereen can certainly be that and then some. I think the size and versatility is greater with Vereen. So you may even see more opportunities. And if 22 fumbles a bit.
Yeah, and I believe Scav also got a chance to talk to Aaron Hernandez.
We talked to we talked to Aaron, and we talked to Ridley too. Welker,
well, I didn't see Ridley.
And while Vereen was talking, you were over there with Vereen.
But did
Ridley
you see
came
Steven?
Down. And
with Welker, did anyone
the contract?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah. Oh, I'm happy to be here. I'm not concerned about it at all. I'm just worried about helping this team win in 2012.
Good.
You would think that was a dumb question that Fred just asked, but it wasn't.
No, because it wasn't the first question that was asked. Yeah. It took a while, and I was almost going to ask it if nobody else did, but somebody else stepped up and did it, so we got that. Ridley was mainly concerned with not fumbling this year. that was the thrust of his whole.
That's good.
That was
his career hinges.
Yeah,
I remember him talking to him about it in the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl week, and I was surprised with how open he was in talking about
it. That's not good.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it bad? You know, you want him concerned with it, but
Benny
can it
wouldn't
be
even
to the point?
Let you say the word "fum." Yeah. You know, yeah. Before he would dismiss you from his locker.
Right. Right.
In a nice way, by the way. I don't want to make it sound like he was bad.
No. I mean, could he be too obsessed with it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like he came in and started bringing it up. The questions were about.
Got a little Darnell Jefferson in him?
You know, I mean, to his credit, he was answering questions that were posed.
Did he fumble any answers?
No, he did very well, actually, with answering.
Good.
Kevin Falk should be a shoulder he leans on, whether he's here or not. I mean, they clearly should have a personal relationship.
Did you hear him on Toucher and Rich this morning?
No.
I get here by now. He vacillated between first and third person in the same answer. He said, well, Kevin Falk knows what he needs to do to get ready, and he understands it's a business, and I'm going to be ready to go if they call me. Something like that.
Wow.
And Toucher and Rich were like, well, you just went back and forth in the same answer. I didn't know who was talking.
But don't you think, I mean, two LSU guys who entered their NFL careers with fumbling problems, and they played together. I mean, I don't know what Kevin Falk did to get over it, but maybe he can be. Because did they used to do something with him? Weird.
They made him carry a football
early on. And Ivan Fierce was constantly trying to knock it away.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that's a Schottenheimer thing.
Everybody does that. Oh, yeah. That was in the program.
Didn't they change his armband? He always had that elbow pad. Didn't they change it to a different one?
I have no idea.
I think that was one of the things they did, too. He had a certain kind of elbow pad that he'd always wear, and then they made him change that.
Well, he went to the ones with, like, the black one with the stitching.
Right.
Yeah. Thing later in his career, but I just assumed it was like a design.
I don't know. And you guys, we talked about Gronk's contract and Ocho Cinco being cut and now signed with the Dolphins. You want to chime in with any thoughts on either of those two before we get into emails, phone calls?
Well, I think it's a good deal for the Patriots, but I also think it was a good deal for Gronk. I mean, he gets a lot of money up front, you know, a little security that he got, I think, maybe unexpectedly. I don't know if he really expected to get an extension this soon. And I think it's pretty good for the team because they have the option at the end of
4 years.
You know, at the end of the 2015 season, beginning of 2016. So I think everybody made out in that respect.
Yeah.
And Ocho Cinco, it's going to be great for Hard Knocks.
Right.
I mean, that's my first thought there.
The question Fred and I had, what would the reaction be if Ocho Cinco comes to Gillette Stadium and has big game, big play, anything as a member of the Dolphins?
I'd be really annoyed.
Does that count? That's an interesting question, though. Because
will they be mad at him? Because
I think they'd be mad at Bill.
I think
for
they'd
not
be mad
finding
at the
a way
coaches.
To use him.
Yeah, I think they'd be mad at the coaches.
I don't. Not surprisingly.
No?
I think they'd be mad
Fred
at him.
Won't.
Well,
Fred
when you
just
say,
admitted if the
when
coach
you say
was
they,
pumping up the pooper,
when
he
you say
be
they,
mad.
Who are you referring to? Because I might be referring to a different they than you are.
Fans.
Okay.
Wasn't that what you asked?
I thought you just said they.
I think I just said, what will their reaction
be? Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought you meant fans.
I meant fans and perception.
General perception. I think people would blame Ocho for not doing what he had to do to be ready to do those contributions here.
I think that would be misplaced.
I disagree, though. I think
they might cheer.
Does the Ocho
I think there were a lot of people that were Ocho fans, and I think those fans would be, why couldn't they just do something to, you know, so that he could do that here? And I think they'd be mad at the coaching.
I do too.
I don't think there's anything the coaches could do that they'd be mad at the coaching. And and to be honest with you,
you prove that first.
To be honest with you, I think it's pretty much rightly so. I think they've made enough moves. Bill's made enough moves to know that it ain't him when things go bad.
Well, he also hasn't had any real glaring.
But that's what I'm saying.
But departures.
In all those moves, Paul, like, you know, and I think somebody mentioned in an article today, the Ty Warrens of the world and all that, they usually don't pan out in another team.
No, but
we're talking about
some
a scenario where a guy does.
But some of them do pan out. Some of them have panned out. But my point is, it's not the system that's causing Chad Ocho Cinco not to work. The guy didn't work in this system. That's fine. You have to be comfortable in the fact that sometimes it works for people, places, and it doesn't work for others. And if he pans out in Miami, I wouldn't criticize Bill.
No, no.
I think he gave Chad every opportunity to do something here.
Oh, absolutely. But I do think that there's a certain section of the fans that really wanted him to succeed.
No, definitely is. There definitely is. But, like, to me, I would be far more upset with my coaching staff slash evaluation people if someone like Taylor Price went somewhere and hit it big.
That's a fair point.
Because I would say they never gave the guy a chance. To me, Chad Ochocinco was given every opportunity to succeed and proved time and time again that he could not do it in this system.
Right.
And now, I personally think it was partly physical, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it was just mental. Everybody thinks, the system was too complicated. And that obviously was. I mean, we saw it. The first OTA, we're all out there, the three of us, and we're like, I can't believe Branch is moving him from the left to the right again.
Yeah. Right.
And that probably was the last straw.
And I pulled a Kramer like, I'm out.
You know,
I've seen that one.
But I do agree with Fred's point that if, you know, he had all this success in Cincinnati, he comes here, he can't do it. If he goes somewhere else now and has success, people are going to say, the only time in his career he didn't have success was when he came here. What the hell was Bill thinking?
But but you don't know that the guy's not going to be able to do it in your system until you get him in your system.
But if he's supposed to be such a genius, how could he not? I'm saying this is
a tonality thing.
I'm saying this is going to be the reaction.
I would say
this
people might have. Yeah, you're not speaking for yourself.
Not necessarily.
I think we have
a disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Do you ever listen to you know, the EEI and the Sports Hub and you hear guys like Steve from Fall River?
Yeah.
He'll be like that. That's his reaction. That's his reaction for everything.
Right.
Bill does no right in that guy's mind. There will be people that are like, I think the majority of people will look at it and say, well, there's plenty of guys that you bring in, and some of them get it and some of them don't. I think there's a lot of examples of guys who come in and they're a good fit in a particular system.
Right.
And others who aren't. And if Eric's scenario plays out with Chad and he's able to be reasonably productive with Miami, I would just chalk that up to he was able to do it there and he wasn't able to do it here. Sometimes that happens.
Well, and I also think that there's no way that the Patriots are going to tailor their offense to any one person.
And they shouldn't. I think that, but this is my point. The system that they've put together is obviously proven to be successful.
Right.
So if someone criticizes Bill and says, why didn't he do something to get more out of Chad? My answer to that would be, why should he have?
Right.
It was fine for Wes Welker. It was fine for Jabbar Gaffney. It was fine for Randy Moss. Why do we have to change it for Chad Ochocinco?
Right. No, and I think
and
you're
I'm
right.
not blaming Chad. I mean, listen, obviously it just didn't work for
him. And I also think there's no chance that on an extended basis he contributes to the Dolphins. He might have a game he makes it out of training camp.
He might catch some passes there. I tend to side with you. I don't think he's the same guy physically. I don't think he's going to have
And who knows if Tannehill's even going to be able to do the kind of things that, say, Cam Newton or Andy Dalton did in their first year at quarterback. He could be terrible,
right,
for all we know. And then, you know, none of the receivers in Miami are going to be able to produce.
And a lot of people are saying that, this is merely just Miami trying to get some info about the Patriots. And we'll know that's true if in the first game the Miami cornerbacks line up in the wrong place. Then we'll know that they did get info from Chad Ochocinco.
Second time in last half.
Well, these guys weren't here. I just wanted
these guys.
I just wanted
to notice how I was.
Third time I've heard it today.
Did you notice
it's like
how
NBC
I was
when they had the reruns in the summer. It's new to you.
It's new to you.
You haven't seen it.
Right.
I knew where that was going, so I stayed quiet for a change, and I just let him go.
And it's not terrible. It's one of his better ones of those.
There's no chance that they're going to get any intel from him. They had these plays that had words.
Right.
Mm. I didn't really get them.
They wanted you to know whether you were supposed to go left or right on the.
I don't know if you guys know, but I came from a number system.
They had a bunch of squiggly lines. I don't know what they meant. I kind of just went out there and did my thing.
Oh, one of them was a dig root. It was a dig root. Yeah, I remember.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's take a break. Food's coming, so we'll be right back. No food, man? Why not?
You already ate pizza, fat boy.
You're going to have to do something about that on Thursday.
All right, let's take a break. What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC. Drawing.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member of DIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade. Yeah.
It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress.
Welcome back.
I was just thinking about Dells. I got a Dells cart for our party.
Good times.
June 22nd.
Shall
I call Jim Fossil?
What's that?
Did you invite Jim Fossil?
No, I didn't. Just for that reason. I don't want him taking all our Dells. But that should be interesting. So I thought that would be fun.
Yeah. Liven things up a little bit.
Paul has volunteered to be the scooper. So he's going to scoop.
It's just slush. I mean, no.
Well, it is.
All right.
I like it. I love slush.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Let's get to some phones and some emails. Let's first go to the ace ticket hotline. Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Yeah, I just had a few things I wasn't able to get to my last time on.
Oh, some more promotions and plugs
that? And by the way, I do appreciate everyone for jumping to my defense. Actually, a couple football-related topics, believe it or not. First one, as Brady gets older, and it's good to see Vereen, it seems like he's ready, I'd sort of like to see them get away from the pass-happy offense and become more balanced.
Why?
Because it seems to bog down in the playoffs. And
you don't like that Brady guy?
Well, I think Brady's getting exposed to too many big hits, especially as he gets a little older. What if they balance it out a little bit more?
Look, as long as they have a running back who's worth balancing out with, okay. But until that time happens, you got Tom Brady. You didn't have Rob Gronkowski in that last playoff game that you're talking about. And, you know, he was out there, but he wasn't the Rob Gronkowski that got him there. And I think that was a huge factor for the offense. I think otherwise they would have been world champs.
But Fred, you look at like the past six of the last seven playoff games, the offense really hasn't played well.
Yeah, well, I mean that's largely true. I'm not sure that you can just chalk that up to simply the offensive style. I mean, I think that for a lot of different reasons, things happen differently in the playoffs. I think it only stands to reason that the scores go down when you get to the playoffs. You know, the weather is usually worse. Defenses are better, and in a lot of cases in those games, you're playing against a team that's really familiar with you.
Look, if Stephen Ridley, comes out this season and, can really, tote the rock on first and second down and be that big play threat that Ben Jarvis Greenellis, with all his durability and dependability, never was, I'm all for handing him the ball, but I'm not for, going out and saying, we need to change the offense. As long as Brady's here and he's playing at this level, I think that if Ridley's good, I'm all for giving him more reps and more, more carries. That's fine. But this is a Tom Brady offense.
Yeah, and I also feel like, I know it's a cliche, but I do feel like the best teams now are the ones that throw the ball the most efficiently and the most effectively. The Giants finished last or second to last in rushing. And they won the Super Bowl. I don't necessarily think. Listen, you're right.
The winner of that game would not have been saying, like the Giants, right, you got to run more.
Right.
The loser says you got to run because you lost.
And
everybody,
Fred,
always seeks the answer. Why did we lose?
And you made a good point, Fred. If Corey Dillon were here and you had a 1,600-yard back, I'd be all in favor of keeping the offense as balanced as you can and constant. I don't think they have that. I think that the offense has evolved a little bit. Now, maybe Jeff's right. Maybe the offense has evolved and it's turned into sort of a regular season offense, and it hasn't been able to succeed in the playoffs. But I don't know. I still think
the
offense.
You still have to play to your personnel, your strengths, and their best players are in the passing game. Their quarterbacks.
That's how I
their
feel.
Their tight ends.
Right.
It's nothing philosophical. It's nothing.
No.
You play to the strengths of your personnel.
Right.
Simple as that.
To me, the difference is not offensively in terms of balance between run and pass. To me, the difference between winning the Super Bowls and not quite getting there is on the other side
of the
ball.
Let's put it another way.
You don't
way.
Have a defense that goes out there and shuts the door for you in the fourth quarter.
Let's put it another way. The goal this year, as it is every year, is to win the championship for the Patriots. Do you think that they're closer to that goal by sticking to being a passing offense or trying to retool and create more balance?
Sticking to pass.
Right.
Balance,
right.
You might not make the playoffs.
Right.
With his defense giving up 30-plus a game.
When Brady retires, we'll rethink that. We'll rethink
right.
the whole
or
thing.
Or if he starts to fade.
Yeah.
Or if you draft right. a Trent Richardson. Or if you
right.
whatever changes, you rethink it. But right now, they have two great tight ends, two all-pro caliber receivers potentially. I mean, you had a guy in Lloyd who had 1,400 yards that one year and arguably the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Why would you hand the ball off 40 times?
And a couple of other complementary pieces in the receiving game that Brady is very comfortable with in Branch and Gaffney.
Sure.
So I agree. Why? Why? And I also, I'm intrigued with this. I don't want to get lost in, no pads practices, but I'm intrigued with what Shane Vereen can provide here.
Now,
I think he might be able to be a little bit more dynamic than, say, Danny Woodhead has with those touches.
Now, I understand where fans are coming from when they say, we want to. No.
Oh.
But thanks for the call, Jeff.
When did you drop it?
He had more he wanted to say.
We want to limit the times that Brady is exposed to hits. And, you know, in those games where Brady's having a hard time, wouldn't it be nice to have that running threat? I think you can have both. You know, I think you can still have that without, you know, making a commitment to the run this season. You know,
if you have the players capable of picking up yards.
And I think Ridley could be that guy. I think Vereen, we're hoping, can contribute.
That's what you have to hope for, is to be more productive in the same amount of carries as they had last year.
And I think, you know, as they've done in the past, you can also use that high percentage pass, which Vereen can definitely be a part of, as the run.
Bottom line is, had they won the Super Bowl, nobody would be saying, change your philosophy.
Right. So, and they came one pass away from that. So,
Yeah. I mean, I listen, if you think there's problems, or if you think that maybe, you know, they won despite some, you know, larger problem that was covered up.
What problem? But you have one of the best offenses in the NFL. Defensively, I would not have been arguing, you won the Super Bowl, so there's nothing to fix.
That would
be whistling past the graveyard.
But that's what I'm saying.
Because the personnel sucks. It's all about personnel.
But I would still say, if they had won the Super Bowl, which Fred's right, if Gronk doesn't get hurt, they probably win the Super Bowl. I still think you'd need to improve on defense.
Obviously.
You can't live like that.
There's nobody on the planet who would have said, well, they won, so the defense is fine.
Well, are you kidding me? There's no one that would have said that?
Oh, a lot of fans would have said that.
No, they would not.
Yes, they would have. They wouldn't have been maybe as aggressive.
He says it now! And they didn't even win!
He's laughing. He doesn't believe his own crap.
Right. There are people who believe their own crap.
No, no one believes the defense didn't need help fixing, drafting first-round
picks. Pete Shepard believed that was a great defense.
No, Pete Shepard's a moron.
I think even Bill Belichick admitted by his actions
as he often does.
As he should have.
What happened?
Bill Belichick admitted by his actions.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm. Six draft picks, all your big free agents were all on defense.
And all the moves he made within the season. You know?
Well, that was desperation.
He was looking.
That was quicksand grabbing for a
danger.
It was all part. You look at his actions, that added to the draft. He admits we need help. We need, you know.
So he does something.
We need
you
some
don't.
Improvement.
I'd like to run the ball better, but not necessarily more often. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
That's a good compromise. And I don't know if that's what Jeff meant, because I, you know,
you didn't let
20
him finish.
Minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, I think he had other topics
but
as
I
well.
Do
oh,
think,
did he?
I think so.
We'll have other shows where he can call back.
I think people look at the
We're
running
game. Social just around the corner.
The running game, I don't know if you hear people talking about this a lot.
Where?
And just in general, I don't know. You know, when
the
people
water cooler.
Are when people are asking, when people are coming up to you in random spots asking you why you always yell at me,
and you know what I do?
You say because he's a jerk. I'm yelling.
No,
that's why
I start walking away.
That's what I say. I know because they're not behind the
look,
velvet ropes.
We heard it every time the Patriots offense sputtered a little bit. They need to run the ball more.
Well,
we heard it a lot.
You do hear it a lot, and I think that people look at those teams that won Super Bowls and they saw a more balanced offense, and they I think wrongly. Make the correlation. That's why we don't win now. I think, first of all, even though it was only 10 years ago, the game is much different, I think, already in the last 10 years. And also, defensively.
Sounded like an old coot kind of.
No, but do you not? I mean, if you don't agree, that's fine. We can have a good fight.
Why are you yelling at me?
We can have a good fight. We have time.
That's what you do.
We have time.
I don't yell at people.
But I think the difference.
You're that guy on TV that yells.
To me, the difference is defensively.
Oh. Me.
Yeah. I'm looking right at him saying, you're that guy on TV.
He's unbelievable.
I thought you meant like.
You should have heard him yelling at me earlier when I was talking about Tom Curran. And
you
I
were
said,
cocking
Tom?
About Tom Curran?
I think you did. Did
yeah,
you?
You did say that, Paul.
This is unbelievable. He's like the police today. The semantics police.
Cocking.
Sorry.
So what were you saying?
Or are you cocking
and I, and
the window
and I
or
him Tom.
Cocking with Tom Curran?
And
Tom?
He got all mad. Yeah.
You know, instead of Curran?
Yeah. It was remarkable.
He said
to which he had to correct himself.
Shane was there, and Tom and I were with him.
But
and then Aaron came over, and I had requested with Aaron that Shane was going to talk with Tom. And
only,
I said maybe I. And
the only vagary out of that was Aaron. I never said who Aaron was, but I had said that I had talked
he
to Shane Vereen, and I was with Tom Curran.
Oh,
already.
Because I thought you were talking about Shane Donaldson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Aaron Salkin.
Well, he was talking about.
Oh, you were talking about Aaron.
Then
Salkin?
You missed him like, 5 minutes later.
It wasn't Hernandez.
He actually he threw a first name out there, and he immediately put the last name on at the end because he knew I was ready to pounce on him.
A little awkward pause in between.
Yeah,
Aaron Lavarius.
Let's get to some emails. Jonathan writes in.
Show's almost over. Probably should.
With it official that we cut ties with Ocho Cinco and him signing already with the Dolphins. A couple of thoughts I had on this one. Belichick let him go out of respect and to allow him to find another team for 2012.
Two, his skills have diminished and the playbook was not the only problem. My concern is if he still has the skills, cutting him now and allowing him to go to a rival is not a great strategic move. Would we not have been better off cutting him on the last day of camp, thus assuring there is no way he could do any harm to the Patriots, assuming that he can learn another system?
Yeah, there is. He would have been here doing harm to your practices for the next 3 months.
You know, and that's the other thing.
Brady would have had to deal with that crap.
And I know you guys laugh at me, and you think that I shouldn't be concerned with this stuff, but I'm not ruling out maybe Belichick or, you know, whoever he has paying attention to this kind of stuff says, you know what? The time's right for Ocho. He's on the verge now of, you know, this whole thing, all he does off the season, busting out. He's been a good guy. We've kept him under wraps, but it's not going to last. Now's the time to get rid of him.
Nah.
You don't think that you were seeing
Was solely he broke the huddle in OTAs looking like the exact same guy Lou last year didn't know where to go, and that's it. We don't have time. We got to move on.
I think that the second reason there that Jonathan said
alike.
About the physical, I think the physical is very underrated.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
On this. I don't think he's physically the same guy.
By the way, I made a decision, executive decision. I'm not going to be doing the Veep for Men readings anymore. I've heard
enough criticism.
Yeah, I've heard enough from enough people to it's not funny anymore.
Thank God.
The joke's over. It's a one punchline type
of
thing.
He's hurt.
No, I'm not.
You're a little upset.
No, I'm not upset.
You're going to cry yourself to sleep
tonight?
There was a groundswell of criticism.
Yeah, I listened to the – I don't know about groundswell.
Oh, this was a legit groundswell.
I listened to the feedback, and I agree with it. You know, we don't want to overdo it.
Now, how come when Andy and I said, why are we doing this? You don't listen to us.
I think it was okay at first.
So that's it. You don't
Plus,
matter.
You were doing the accent in the beginning, and that made it funnier.
Yeah, but
you started losing the accent toward the end there.
Yeah,
you're bollocks.
Yeah, I just disagree with the reason why we shouldn't. Like people, are like I want you to just talk about the Patriots.
Yeah, that's not
that
gonna
ain't going to happen. We're going to have to come up with something else.
I didn't. More people just said that wasn't funny. They find us.
I didn't think it was funny. I mean, the first time it was funny.
Right.
Just all the little
Fred's
going to
cry.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't think I'm funny.
I thought that was the funny part. The clever way that people refer to those things. I thought that was interesting. But, you know, you can go on your own to the Amazon UK site and read them for yourself.
Are you getting a kickback from this or something?
We're going to find out something.
Because you never know. We might get a groundswell of people now saying, oh, I really liked it.
Not one of them.
Because usually only people write in when they're upset at something.
That is true.
You know?
Bring back Veet. Bring back Veet.
I don't think we'll hear that, but... You
we
are right.
We won't get a single email.
People complain about stuff, but they don't necessarily write in to tell you how much they like stuff.
Right. Craig in Ottawa says, extremely pumped about the Gronkowski extension. I think it was the smart move for the team. Ocho Stinko is gone, and in a related way or story, the Dolphins' offensive penalties and illegal formations will go up significantly this year. Please, Fred, no more Veet reviews. They've all just lost their humor. I've lost my ability to read.
Well, you never had
lost?
It.
Iggy from Madrid writes in.
Mi amigo con gran cabeza.
About Troy Brown. He says, we all love Mr. Patriot when he played for the Patriots, and he belongs for sure in the Patriots Hall of Fame presented by Raytheon. I was wondering if Deion Branch could have a Troy-like last few years of his career with the Patriots playing in the slot. And if Welker is too expensive for Belichick's taste and he is gone next year, do you think he could play the slot in a productive way, meaning Branch? He is not fast, quick at this point, but number 12, trust him. He is a smooth route runner and has good hands.
Bingo! Bingo! I got bingo!
No.
Deion Branch taking over Welker's role.
Welker-like? I agree with Andy, probably not. But, yes, he's still a guy that Tom trusts, and I think he can be reasonably productive, but... 50 catches?
Right, like he had
last year.
Not 100.
And absolutely, Iggy, he can play in the slot. That's where his first go-around with the Patriots was almost exclusively as a slot guy.
But he's no better.
But he's not going to be out with it like Wes.
He's not as quick. No. He doesn't have it anymore.
No.
Deion Branch is not as fast or as quick as he once was.
And even at his peak, he was not a guy that could take the hits that Wes could take and continue to play every week.
Robin Marlboro says, so Chad, 85, is out of town and headed for Miami. Fortunately, he still doesn't know enough about our offense to explain it to them. With the Sox tanking and the Celts failing, I need some good Pats news. Tell me something really good, something as good as Andy's mom.
Oh.
Wow.
You going to blow off some steam?
That was totally inappropriate. Did anybody ask Hernandez if he's going back to 85 by any chance?
No, they didn't.
Would he have any reason to?
I don't think so. I think he wanted 81.
Yeah,
initially.
He won at Florida, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, he was. He was 81 at Florida, and Moss,
had to take 85
Moss was still
because
here.
Moss was still here, yeah.
His first year, if you recall.
Yep.
Nathan in Southern California says, do you think Ocho might win bounce back player of the year with the Dolphins going against this secondary twice a year?
See,
I knew you guys would like that.
Signed Andy Hart. No, I don't think there's any chance of that.
Zero chance. No. Because even if he's good, now, I don't have any confidence in their quarterback.
I was adamant that I think Bill deserves zero criticism if Chad has any success in Miami. And he turns that out to, I knew they would laugh at that. You know,
Now, if Ocho Cinco does have a great, that would be a comeback player of the year, right?
Sure.
Would you consider that?
Well, they probably would.
They probably would.
My contention would be, what is he coming back from?
From a bad
sucking
year.
And then
from
Andy,
being inactive, a healthy
and
scratch.
And Andy, Fred, and Paul would have that circular argument as to, what exactly is the comeback player?
You know it when you see it.
Right.
And then to me, that wouldn't be it.
If you get 85 catches a year after having 15 and being a healthy scratch for multiple weeks, you're coming back.
Right. That's a comeback player. Paul doesn't agree. Rolls
he
his
doesn't
eyes.
Agree with anything.
But he would be coming back from being ineffective.
Right. Okay. Whatever.
I don't really understand that.
Well, it's not like he went his whole career being ineffective.
Right.
He was great.
You have to be great to be ineffective and then great again. You can't just be great. Then it's breakout performer.
Listen, you guys are fine. You guys are right. That's the way they judge it.
I know I'm right.
You guys are right. I think you should have to come back from some sort of adversity, some injury or something.
I think he faced adversity last year. He couldn't learn the playbook.
Yeah, Steve Smith in Carolina that year. I mean, that was, you know, he had a devastating injury. He came back the next year and lit it up.
But you don't think there was adversity in Ocho Cinco's life last year? He couldn't learn the offense. He couldn't play. He's a Hall of Fame-type talent who was relegated to a punchline.
You know what? You're right. I forgot when he lost his Starbucks card. That really threw him for a loop.
Don't get into his marketing campaigns. That was a scam of all scams.
I agree. I just think
Marcus Cannon is now openly pimping like weight loss drugs on his Twitter feed. Check this out with a link to like a weight. I lost 20 pounds. It'll work for you too.
He might have got hacked.
No, I'm guessing he's making some money.
Do they want him losing 20 pounds?
Yeah, should he be losing 20 pounds?
Joe in Pennsylvania says, thanks for all the great coverage year round. The laughs I get listening to you guys. Quick game for you. Pick one or the other. 55 sacks as a team or 20 rushing touchdowns as a team?
55 sacks. 20 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, we have a split there.
55 sacks.
Welker with 110 plus.
Wait, are you going with Paul? Because then it's not split.
I'm going to go. I'll go with the 20 touchdowns.
So it's split.
So it's split now.
Yeah. Welker with 110 plus catches or three receivers over 75 catches?
Three over 75.
Me too.
Welker with how many?
110 plus.
I like our chances.
Come
if
on.
More
Come
people
on, boy.
75.
Got an answer.
If I have to go one or the other, I'll say Welker 110 plus.
Okay.
But I think
Jerry and Paul today.
I think both of those things are going to happen or have a chance to happen.
Yeah. I mean, they were four catches from happening last year.
Rob Ninkovich as starting outside linebacker or starting defensive end?
Don't care.
Neither. Yeah,
to me, it's the same.
Yeah.
What? He turns into a shot at Ninkovich.
What do you mean neither?
I think someone's going to overtake him, Trevor Scott.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, get off
Trevor Scott.
You thought he was a safety.
You have never even seen Trevor Scott participate in a single play at practice.
I'm looking for one guy that came on our show to break
schlong.
Out.
Easy.
But what is it about him that you think he can be something?
What is it about male genitalia that you have
right.
to always talk about?
I'm not the one who seeks it out. It's him.
Oh, please.
Yes.
It's always on your
yes.
mind. It's always on your mind.
In all seriousness, do you...
I love what he does.
Do you legit... I mean, we had this argument... Was the argument you put Scott as one of your top five defensive playmakers?
I just said that to get you going, Andy. You're such a moron.
What a maroon.
No, you really believe
that. No, you really are easy to get
That's
going.
That's like the fourth time you've brought him up today. The guy is irrelevant at this point.
And every time I do, you blow a gasket. So it's fun.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
The greater Cleveland area.
Here's another one. Danny Woodhead as leading rusher or Brandon Lloyd as leading receiver?
Brandon Lloyd as leading receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. And P.S., getting married on August 11th in Niagara Falls.
Don't jump.
Congrats.
Taking the plunge.
Made of the Mist,
literally.
Which I guess is a
That's
boat.
That's the boat.
Yeah. Any of you guys,
as Dante Scarnecchia would say, effing moron.
Any of you guys in the area, feel free to stop by.
What now? Why would anyone 11th. Be in that area?
That's,
there's a
right
guy
in the middle,
right
of,
the middle
training
of training camp.
Short 11-hour drive during training camp. No big deal.
There's a guy doing, is it this week, the guy's doing the tight wire walk across the Niagara Falls?
Live on Fox. They used to do that all the time.
There's a guy doing it this week on one of, I assume it's Fox. They're kind of the trashy network. They're
fingers
crossed for him
falling.
Speaking
of which, Andy and I were trying to figure out when Gronk's show was on.
Yes, The Choice. Does anybody, has that started already? Who's our trash TV experts?
Maura.
Maura, did The Choice start?
She doesn't listen.
Because I want to see his episode when he is on there.
The Veet reviews have come in. Eric's unofficial tour guide writes in. He says it was amusing the first few times, but I think the problem was investing time each and every broadcast to it.
Not funny three, funny zero.
And
Groundswell.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world writes in, instead of the Veet commercial, you can just repeat your Ocho Miami corners lining up wrong joke each show.
Not funny four, funny zero.
That hurt.
I actually think that the Miami corners thing was one of his better jokes.
Well, I think that's a visual. You know when they always say they want to have the cameras on? I think we need the cameras on Fred's faces when he's setting up one of those jokes.
It will be in, Eric mentioned, you know, with the Hard Knocks and Ocho going to...
Is that on the YouTube?
On the internets.
Well, you know what was funny? My kid went to some recruiting thing at this college.
This beautiful college.
This university in North Carolina this weekend. And you know,
all to
the
which
kids,
you now work
all,
as a
it's like Disneyland of college campuses.
But all these parents, you know, the kids go to the, you know, this school and the that school. So somebody asked me, you know, what school does your son go to? He goes to a regional high school. I said, he goes to the King Philip School. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard about that. Only three towns in the world are allowed to go there.
You're such a jerk. You make fun of me for being argumentative. You are such
a
jerk.
The woman's like, oh, you know, and then walks away.
Didn't get it.
Yeah.
So that's a good line, though, Freddie. I like that. The King Philip School.
Let's see. Cody writes in.
Oh, one quick
what?
News item.
What?
Not really news, but I put it on the blog. We have two players that are going to be announced in the, if you care about it, top 100 on NFL Network this week, 21 to 30 in that range. Two players going to be announced.
Ironically, no one cares less about it than Andy. Yeah, he blogged about it.
I know. He's obsessed by it.
I'm just trying to do my job.
Doing your job,
promote
Andy.
The team.
Just doing your
promote
job.
The players.
Okay, all right.
Speculation for
you
me.
You can make fun of everybody except him, you know?
Yeah. I'm just trying to do my job, Fred.
Everybody just do your job.
Thanks, Bill. Also should let Manningham catch it, right, Bill?
Oh, you see? that took an ugly turn.
Speculation from me, and you can vote in your poll on the blog, is that it will be Welker and Gronkowski. A lot of people think those two will actually be higher on the list and that it's Waters and Hernandez. I would be stunned if the Patriots' two second-year tight ends are two of the top 30 players in the NFL. I think Hernandez so far trails Gronkowski.
What if
that.
Hernandez is not even in the top 100?
Well, I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. I don't think he is. I don't think Waters is. A lot of people think it's going to be Waters and Hernandez now, and then somewhere in 21 through 1 will be Gronkowski, Welker, and Brady.
Well, what if it's Waters and Welker now, and then it's Gronkowski and Brady?
It could be.
Yeah.
But my guess is it's Welker, Gronkowski this week, and then Brady at 2. Yeah. You don't get any in between.
Speaking of Gronkowski, his reality show airs June 28th.
Okay, now.
Oh,
somebody remind
me.
What day is that? Yeah. What day?
Sounds like a Thursday.
I don't know.
Yeah, how that sounds
today,
like a...
Today's the 12th, correct? And say June 12th, first day of minicamp. So the 14th is Thursday, so the 28th is a Thursday.
The guy who, like... Can't do math, he says. All
wow.
of a sudden, sounds like a Thursday.
He's like
well,
a calculator.
I added 2, multiplied 7, and carried the 7 twice,
now
and it was 28.
Use a little deductive reasoning and figure out why I was able to get it so fast. The only reason for a guy who admittedly can't do math.
Something to do with Northeastern
signing? Sevens. Football.
Okay.
14, 21, 28. It's the only reason why I got it that fast.
Okay.
I can't add.
But you know your football.
Touchdowns. But I know my football touchdowns.
No, but immediately he knew today's date.
Well, I knew today's date only because of
minicamp. Thursday.
Only because
and then
of
the 7.
Again, it all comes back to football. I knew today was June 12th.
Days when they're on minicamp.
This is as amazing as when he touched his foot to his nose.
I know.
Honey, we have a wedding to go to on July 2nd. There's no minicamp. I don't know what day that is.
I wouldn't know what day it was if it was just a random day.
Wait, but July 2nd, you have July 4th close. You might know that. I mean,
but if
this is...
But I don't know what day July 4th falls on. If it was last week, although in your new Mayan calendar, wouldn't it always be on a certain day?
Yes, if we had that calendar, it'd be perfect.
Freddie, did you hear that one? Were you around then, or you were on vacation?
I think I heard it.
We had some classic shows during that time.
But we need to, we should probably roll on that.
We should probably roll on that.
We might want to run clips of Gronk from that show. So you might want to, just nodding your head.
Speaking of embarrassing Gronk clips, you should probably check out Patriots Today.
Oh, I'm sexy
on Patriots.com.
And I know it.
Oh,
he has
Zolioki Saturday
night. Like, he doesn't have the flow of this. And then he goes, I work out, and he flexes. It's just terrible.
He didn't need rhythm. All he needed to do, he pulled like eight girls on stage, apparently.
I saw. There were a lot of bimbos on the stage.
And he goes, there were a lot of girls up on stage. I don't know where they came from. I'm like, really?
Gronk's in the house.
I actually thought Ninkovich sounded pretty good. He did.
He's a very good singer.
He sounded like Garth Brooks, kind of.
Yeah.
Apparently, Stephen Guskowski, the surprise of the night,
good?
He was a great rapper.
Really?
he was up there with Sergio Brown, and apparently he put Sergio Brown to shame.
Another thing about Sergio Brown can't do.
Talking about Zoltan Mesko's charitable karaoke event that he had.
And that's on Patriots.com now if you want to watch that.
With Brian Lowe's Ron Jaworski-like stand-up. Have you noticed him getting more and more, I'm Brian Lowe, and this is Patriots Today.
Is that right?
That long, like, trailing thing.
Really? He's not exaggerating.
Let's see. Cody writes in, please don't bring back Veet. Glad to see Chad go.
Five, not funny.
And wondering what you thought of the Pays it bringing in Jesse Holly. Who's Jesse Holly?
The wide receiver.
He's the 12th receiver on the roster right now.
Got a game for you. More productive, Vereen or Ridley?
Vereen.
Oh.
How are you going to measure production?
Ridley.
I wanted to ask that question, but I figured you'd make fun of me.
I think Vereen.
Ridley.
But it could be Ridley.
I think Ridley.
There you go. Welker or Lloyd? Welker or Lloyd?
Again, it could be. Yeah, I'm going to go
Welker.
I'll go Welker.
Because he's done it.
That's one of those that Lloyd could be more productive with 50 less catches.
Right. Yeah. Yards and touchdowns could be Lloyd, and Welker could have catches.
Yeah. Hernandez or Gronk?
Gronk.
Gronk.
No. Hernandez. I changed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Gronk.
I think Hernandez could lead the team in catches this year.
No way.
It's another, you know, sort of means, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, just saying. And I'm not, what did you say last week? I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hernandez, very active in these non-pads practices.
If he catches the balls thrown his way, he'll add another 10 catches from last year. And if he stays healthy, he'll add another 30. Now he's at 100 catches.
I think Lloyd's going to take catches away from a lot of these guys.
I think Welker's going to lose catches. I think Welker could end up in the 75 to 85 catch range.
McCourty or Dowling?
McCourty or
McCourty.
Dowling? McCourty.
Just because he can stay healthier.
Dowling. Chung or Gregory?
Gregory.
Really?
Okay. Right.
I'm going both of those guys I answered with the guy I thought would be on the field more.
Okay.
McCourty.
Yeah. All right.
And Gregory.
I'll give you Gregory.
All right. Ninko or Chandler Jones?
Ninko.
Spikes or Mayo?
Mayo.
What are we counting as impactful? Brooklyn numbers or?
I'm going with my same theory.
I'm going
the guy
Spikes.
Who I think will be on the field more.
Yeah.
The story of this season will be two former Gators breaking out. Hernandez and Spikes. Yeah. What?
Nothing.
What did you whisper over there?
It's just between me and Eric.
Sweet. We're doing a radio show. It should be on the air.
When you said two former Gators, I thought you were saying two gay guys.
Did you see? I just saw a headline.
You didn't really care. Why'd you make me say it?
Connor Darwin says it's changing quickly.
Changing rapidly. And
what is?
If a gay player came out, he'd be very much accepted. And
I think so, too.
The faster that people understand this, the better off we'll all be, and it's not a big deal. Blah, blah,
I
blah.
Agree. All
it,
of that.
I agree to an extent. It's going to take a very strong person.
They need a superstar. And that guy, remember?
But they need a strong
Nate Davis. Nate.
Oh yeah, the guy who
came out. He
was in a preseason.
He actually did an interview with the Amy Lawrence girl from ESPN.
Oh.
And he was a Jag. And
thought it was Amy Nelson.
Nelson, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Who's Amy Lawrence?
Amy Lawrence is on ESPN. Amy Nelson is a different person on ESPN.
Well, whatever. He did an Amy interview, and he was a Jag.
Amy.
But he was talking about
no,
how
didn't.
People think, like, you're going to be turned on in the locker room, and he said, no, it's my team. That's like my family. And can you see that? I mean, there's plenty of people in this world who have smoking hot sisters who don't turn them on because that's family. That's off limits. You know what it is. And I know it's a little different when it's not truly your family, but these guys are together all the time. I don't think it's that big a deal.
But I mean,
I think it's ridiculous that people immediately, you know, they go right to, oh my God,
sex.
He's going to be turned on. It's
right.
It's all about sex. It's a person's choice who they're attracted to.
But Fred likes to look at penises. It doesn't turn him on.
No, but we all, I mean, listen, I love that blank stare. I love that. That's what we need the camera for. I love that blank stare. But, I mean, isn't that the same for everybody? I mean, heterosexuals, homosexuals. I mean, you can find someone attractive and not immediately want to just jump on her.
You can.
I mean, if you're not Andy and needing to blow off steam. Everybody always, like, that was another thing that Barwin said in that interview. It's not about sex. There's no sex going on in the locker room.
Unless it's Penn State.
As far as we know.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
It's not a joke. It's fact.
That's
really, public record.
That's really poor to me. But anyway.
I had a question about
I don't think you have to. I mean, does every woman that walks by immediately, all 53 guys in the football team, want to jump on her? I mean, maybe that's true. I don't know. But I just don't
I,
see.
Have you seen when, like, TBS Tekka walks through?
I think that's a little different than
the
average
woman.
I
think any woman that walks by in the locker room, there is an evaluation made.
I do, too. And if they have high heels and tight pants,
isn't that the same outside the locker room?
Does that make it then bad?
In the world, every woman that walks by,
as long as they keep it to themselves,
but that's what I'm saying. Does it adversely affect anything?
No,
because I don't think that it does. And
it's not the locker room, though. I mean, it's the world.
Like, exactly.
I mean, every man, when a woman walks by, makes
would I or
would I or wouldn't I? No doubt.
Yeah.
Now, Paul,
you think women do the same thing?
No, I do. I absolutely do.
I'm not sure women are
different. No, I don't think
women are different.
They're wired. Yep, yeah. Totally different.
Yeah. But my point is, what's the difference between us having an office here that have women in it, and we're able to work every day?
Well, because you're not showering with them.
You just you
really?
Oh, you don't?
But really, I mean, that's the line that, I mean,
no,
because
you just have to control it. Yeah.
Because they're in a shower, that
wife
means,
on line one.
I mean, I don't know. I would like to think that, you know, you can actually survive without, you know, acting on every sexual impulse
right.
that you have ever had.
And this is, well, I didn't even want to get into it. I'm going to go places that I shouldn't go.
Well, I just think it has nothing to do with sex. I really don't.
That's how I feel.
I think it has more to do with the negative connotations that people put on gay men. That he's
the toughness
queer,
thing.
He's soft, he's...
Right, they can't handle
that to
right.
me is
it
the issue.
It has to do with other people's ignorance.
Yeah,
right,
that to me is the issue. Like, suddenly, you know, pick a guy, whoever you think the toughest guy is, that now he's gay, well, now you think he's soft or
right.
he's anything else. It's to me, that's the issue. I don't think it's as much sexual as football macho-istic.
Right. And it's a lot of fear. A lot of guys, you know, fear it. They don't want to be around it because they fear it, you know, which is ridiculous.
It's easier if you don't fear it.
Of course.
It's just, like, I don't know. I think it's funnier, better. Like, if everybody's just open, like, these shows that are openly gay and these, it just seems like it's so much easier. There's no, like,
right.
tiptoeing.
Right. Cole from Waterloo says, and Andy, you asked the question earlier, who approached who in the Gronk deal? Did the team make it a priority? An approach?
I don't know.
Or well, Mike Reese is reporting that Gronk and Drew Rosenhaus approached the team about the deal. So.
That may be true. May not be true. I don't know.
Well, that's what he's reporting.
Right.
It's true that he's reporting it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Doesn't mean it's true. They reported Ocho Cinco was at an eye doctor and then he was cut.
Hey, little extra argument.
Pro Football
today,
Talk
Freddie?
Reported that we said something about Ocho Cinco. We didn't. Reports can be wrong.
Freddie.
Pro yes. Football Talk reported Terry Bradshaw was dead. He wasn't.
Oh, boy.
Really?
We get it.
Little extra argumentative today?
Yeah.
Or is it just my imagination?
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, he's been like that for a while.
Since
last Thursday.
Based on the answers you got from Bill today?
Oh, no.
No?
I've come to expect that. You know, if he's such a genius that he says he is, or however you term it.
I actually admire Andy for continuing to ask questions. I gave up 7 years ago.
I just feel like
I said that, Andy.
When you're going to get the answer that you're looking for.
We're talking
I'm
about
still waiting.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, paying the guys that they deem to be the best or among the best at their position, and they will pull the trigger if they feel confident in that. Rob in Atlanta says, in 08, Randy Moss got a 3-year, $27 million deal that averaged out to 9 per year. At the time, he was being paid as one of the best. The thing is, salaries for each position seem to go up every year. Calvin Johnson's new deal gives him an average of $16.5 million per year. That's the new standard for the best. If Welker's asking for anything around $9 to $10 million per year, then I'd give it to him. No, he's not the best, but $9 to $10 million a year isn't anywhere near the best money anymore, so it seems reasonable to me. Maybe the holdup has more to do with contract length. He's not a deep threat, and perhaps it has a lot to do with the system, but a yard is a yard regardless of how you get it, let alone what kind of receiver got the yards. His yards per catch may be lower than other big receivers, but he makes up for it with catches, which add up to more total yards. Anyway, I love this show. Been listening since 09. I want Kevin back
on the show as the main producer, since he never pays attention, he doesn't feel the need to insert himself into every discussion like Matt.
Whoa.
You popped your cherry.
That hurt a little bit.
The last 20 minutes of last Thursday's show was awful. It went from PFW in progress to Pro Football Weekly Twitter updates in progress. Sorry, but we didn't need a lesson from Journalism 101. So there you go.
Is that a criticism of us?
I think it is.
Screw him.
That's okay.
Well, who was he? I'm sorry that we didn't
Robin Atlanta.
I'm sorry that we didn't do what we were reported to have done, and that is say that Chad Ochocinco had been released before he had been.
Right.
Yeah, Rob.
Sam says, can you rewind the minicamp tape and think back to some Patriot players who at the time were under the radar projected players but later went on to be significant contributors to the team? And P.S., would you rather be stuck in an island with Bill Belichick or three willing playmates of your choice? Bill would answer any question you had until rescue arrived.
Three playmates.
What?
Because in the grand scheme of things, I don't give a bleep.
Yeah, I think I can forgo the knowledge.
Yeah, honestly?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he bringing a case of Bud Lime
with him? I guess when I was done, I could write a book off of what Bill said, but believe me, I can write a book off of what I do with those playmates,
too. Oh, you're getting off the island?
Eventually,
I'll be getting off. You know what I'm saying?
Eventually, you get off.
Okay, if you're on, off, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
So you can ask a football coach football questions, or I can have fun. I mean,
yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's. What about
even Eric would choose that?
Guys,
although with Eric, they'd be having a threesome, and he'd be watching. And he'd be like, "You got to be absolutely pooping me."
He'd have the camera.
Guys, I'm the only man on the island.
Sensitive artist. He would capture the light just prop
under the radar. Guys during minicamp who eventually went on to. Have significant roles with the team?
I can't think of anybody like in a mini camp setting.
Randall Gay?
I don't remember who Randall Gay was until training camp, really until he played.
When did we, I think it might be training camp, but Dane Fletcher we started to watch and say, hey, he can move around a little
that
bit.
That was training camp.
DM,
he popped in training camp a little bit.
Robbie Gould?
I mean, it's hard because they don't.
Your
they
best
don't
evaluation
have,
ever, though?
Yep. They don't have pads on at mini camp. So it's hard
they
to
even have jerseys now.
It's hard to identify a guy like Andy just said with Dane Fletcher. There's been a lot of those guys.
Yeah,
that you know, hey, that guy looks like he has a little something. Or this, you know, and some of them didn't make it. Some of them didn't even stick around on the practice squad
because you know their development, whether it's step like, whether it plateaus, where it plateaus. But the I'm assuming this question is kind of a little bit based on the I keep bringing up Justin Francis just because he's lined up with guys who are going to be starters a lot and.
He's
I mean,
my
that's
guy.
A good sign.
He's my guy. You know that.
Why is he your guy? Don't know why he's your guy.
Only because of on paper resume. He looked like he had the physical attributes of, you know,
it's
one
funny because I think on the field he looks horrendous.
Oh, I couldn't tell you
he
how
looks
he looks.
Dump. No. I mean, looks.
Oh.
He's like flabby armed. He doesn't look muscular, strong, doesn't look fast.
I couldn't make
I have
that
no
evaluation
reason.
From where we
Other
are.
Than he goes to Rutgers and everybody that Shiano ever produced was a great
that's
NFL
true.
Player.
I'll give you one minicamp guy
that's
that flashed.
Tone there. There's a lot of tonality there.
Rashad Baker. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
He did
he
stand
was
out.
Laying out
for the wrong reasons.
He didn't need the pads to hit people.
He was laying out dudes all camp.
That's
but he
stuck. Side note.
He stayed.
Bill Belichick almost got Mike Shanahan today.
Oh, really?
Somebody threw Dante Stallworth out of the back of the end zone after a reception, and Bill just hopped out of the way. He almost hit him.
Okay.
Could have been tragedy.
Yemi from Texas, are you guys concerned about Vollmer's health?
Yes.
Pro Football Talk wrote today that he had a procedure after the Super Bowl. Will
then
not
it may or may not be true.
In minicamp, what options do we have if Vollmer cannot go when the season begins?
Cannon.
Yeah, Cannon.
Like
your
he played
guy.
Last year, and he's been playing out there.
Although I will
or
say.
I wouldn't rule out Gallery, right?
I've seen Gallery primarily at guard.
Right
but,
tackle?
Right.
Yeah,
tackle.
I wouldn't rule him out, but I agree with these guys.
I will say, though, that the fact that we've seen Vollmer the last few days at you know outside at practice doing the rehab stuff is a better sign than if he weren't out there at all.
And he's running better than Mankins when they do their tethered running. Mankins has a serious limp. When he does, he's running full speed or whatever.
Yeah, he
but
will,
he's got
yeah.
quite a little limp,
little hitch in his giddy-up.
Whereas Vollmer doesn't appear to have one.
Does he have a knee brace on, Mankins?
No,
no brace.
Dave in West Virginia, Fred, just chiming in on your Veet bit. It's a no.
Six, not funny.
I also want
Zero
to let you
funny.
Know the most entertaining part of some of the postseason Andy. Shows have been when Andy screams and calls out Adam Jones in the other studio. Oh. I know you guys are on late today, but more Andy randomly yelling at people or things is a must. You don't have to worry about that. That'll happen all the time.
That's organic, though. We can't script that.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's 3:35. We're going till 4 today. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Fred is still having a great moment in the men's room right now. It's web radio.
A great moment or a great movement?
well, your choice. Web radio at patriots.com is our email address. We're here till 4 o'clock today, Eastern time, if you're listening live. If you're listening to the podcast, well, then you're SOL.
Lord only knows what time it is and what you're doing.
Exactly. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline if you want to give us a call. We're talking a little bit about training camp and the events of the last few days since our last show, including Rob Gronkowski signing a nice mega deal. Ocho Cinco leaving town, going to the Dolphins.
Do not go in there.
Well,
That was close. I had to go to a remote bathroom because.
Oh, really?
The bathroom here is being used. The one out in the concourse is being used, but there's a secret one under the ramp.
Yeah.
Outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I went into that one.
I didn't know that.
Fred knows all the secret bathrooms.
Seriously,
like when he goes
how do you
left
know?
Upstairs, yeah. When we go right.
Oh, yeah. But I kind of locked myself in. I couldn't get the door open.
That would have been awesome if you never came back.
And I didn't have my phone with me, so I.
Then we were like, boy, Fred's really sick.
And we would have never looked there. We might have looked at this bathroom. Fred,
right,
you in here?
Yeah, right. Like, we would have never gone out there.
I just picture him running around the stadium trying to find an open bathroom with his trousers down at his ankles.
Well, he had Papagino's pizza. So.
That was, well, and they have a new promotion, Increase the Grease. At Papa Gino's, apparently, because that thing slid through me like Apollo Ono in a crash-up.
How long have you been working on that?
That didn't really
work. Apollo Ono.
It was funny.
No, I got it.
You know, they turn it and they wipe each other out.
Right. Yeah, that slid
Papa
right
Gino's
through me.
Still a sponsor?
Not anymore.
Because, interestingly, I had my best Papa Gino's pizza ever today. The new buffalo chicken pizza they have where they chop up the boneless tenders.
And you had no issues?
No, I had no issues, first of all, but I'm talking taste-wise, was as cheesy and saucy and the good flavor
of
the buffalo.
How'd that mic taste?
Yeah, I touched it. You never know who has been in here. Mm. But yeah, the new buffalo chicken pizza at Papagino's, I highly recommend. Whether they're a sponsor or not, that's how I roll, baby.
Well, that's good for you, but I mean, it tasted good, but it went right through me.
Well, everything goes through you. You're as bad as me. You have IBS or something, too.
Not like you.
No, probably not. But you have something. You go every single day when we leave the show. You go to
I have a schedule. It's good.
He's regular.
Right.
So's Paul, though. Well, I mean, yeah, Paul has his
But his schedule is all the time.
Because he drinks a lot more than we do
so
during the day.
So he's left. He's just gone. Yeah.
He had a little something to do.
Oh, really?
You made him do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Jeevan.
He did do Patriots today. Look for Paul later today with, unfortunately, Brian Lowe and not a new hottie because I don't believe they
have one
new hottie yet, right?
No.
They're looking.
Although Ray Ray was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a production assistant, I guess. Jeevan in Vancouver. Last week, Fred was saying the Patriots.com had its most traffic the day Ocho was traded for. I remember I was sitting in my business class. And when I say his first tweet saying, I love clam chowder, I was confused and a bit excited. Then a few minutes later, the news broke that he was traded for, and I was so excited, I had to leave the lecture hall and went to the washroom and engaged in a session of private fist pumping, yelling, and jumping. I will never forget that story. Anyway, do you guys think that the recent failures of going after players like Haynesworth and Ocho will detour Bill from making moves like this in the future? I'm sure that no one questions the low risk, high reward move made by Bill, but we know he loves those draft picks. Finally, who, if anyone, do you think can fall off the map like McCourty did last year, either on offense or defense?
Why are we looking for that?
Yeah. Well, first,
we never saw that coming. So if it's anything like McCourty, we don't see it coming.
Yeah. But first, on the first question, I hope it doesn't. Deter them from going after guys like that and taking chances. The problem is right now they don't have a lot of draft picks to play with, right?
No.
They're pretty low on those.
Yes.
So that might be
and they couldn't get any back. I'm guessing they tried to get one of those back, a fifth, a sixth, seventh,
For Ocho.
And they couldn't.
And that might be a reason why they don't this year, but I hope it doesn't deter them from doing it in the future. But back the question, who would fall off the map like McCourty?
You better hope there's no Pro Bowlers who are going to fall off the map this year.
People that want me to fight Adam Jones, I can't fight him right now. I'll just make fun of him because the Revs media game where they played soccer here at Gillette Stadium apparently just broke up, and Kevin and the losers from ESPNBoston.com are wearing their media game 2012 Revs shirts, and they have scarves on.
Now I want to know
Adam and Drew won. That's why they got the scarf.
Well, I want to know if they got into a fight Adam is self-proclaimed a-hole on the basketball court in pickup games. So I want to know if the same thing was true on the
pitch. I heard he's a good basketball player.
Did he get carded?
Because he hacks everybody.
Oh,
and he gets into fights.
Did they get carded?
The both of them got red cards apparently.
Oh, really? And you're
suspension. No show for
He's not going to shower after this game either, right? Because he already took a shower this morning.
No, he looks.
Adam
like
has
the
Adam has this thing where he doesn't shower after he works out. Apparently,
why?
Ask him. I don't know.
You don't shower after working out?
You must not work out very hard.
That's disgusting. Yeah, I mean.
Am I on this thing?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm definitely not showering when I get home. Yeah, not
you never a... shower after working out?
I didn't say never. I just, you know.
You do like the Portuguese shower with a little.
I don't even think he does that.
No, maybe I'll towel off a little bit. But
do you
yeah.
sweat a lot?
No, I didn't. We didn't have to work very hard against the rest of the revs. It's like Kevin Collins and stuff. We didn't have to go out there and work very hard.
I'm talking about in general. Do you sweat a lot?
Who was the man of the match?
Brooks had a couple of goals. I just kind
of
rode.
Did you how much
full field? I kind of rode coattails. Well, they had like small fields going across the big Gillette Stadium, which is disappointing.
Being good at soccer is irrelevant.
How many goals?
So,
how many goals were
it's
scored?
Like being good at tiddlywinks. No one gives an F.
I've heard that there used to be a Patriots media game.
Well, there was one.
That was a long time ago.
They don't do that anymore.
It was a long time.
It was at CMGI Field.
Interesting. I actually admitted that I would be terrified to go against Andy Hart in a Patriots
game. I have gotten
into
scuffles
in
touch
that,
football.
Yeah.
We used to play flag football weekly, and he used to get into fights.
That is true. Yeah. Fact.
Yeah.
You two would get along great then.
It was actually
you're a big a-hole.
It was actually
it
wasn't
games,
even flag. So. It was two-hand touch. He would make two-hand punch. Yes, you did. You'd come down. You'd wail on people.
No, that's not true.
Yes,
I believe it.
He just doesn't know his own strength.
I did once catch a ball in the flat and then turn upfield and run right through Steve Scarnecchia. I lowered my shoulder and ran right through.
I remember once I went across over the middle. And I caught a pass and I just couldn't get it right. And I'm running and I hear Andy, "Be an athlete."
I just heard that Burton dominated those things. That's all that I heard.
Oh God, yeah. Oh,
did he?
Yes,
well,
Steve
it's not
Burton.
Fair.
Yeah.
Was he playing quarterback?
I don't know. I have a different.
He just ran around like Randall Cunningham. Picture Randall Cunningham just making plays, running around, throwing bombs. That was Burton.
I was surprised. I didn't know.
So you should stick to lesser sports with lesser athletes like soccer.
I just, you know, I want to try to win, so I'll stick to soccer. I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
All right.
Nice scarf.
Adam Jones of ESPNBoston.com. A little crossover, even though
I take the headset off before you walk away. Don't you actually work?
It's just
going
to fall off as he walks away and doesn't go to the shower.
Does he take the gas nozzle out when he pumps gas or drive away with the gas nozzle on?
Isn't he supposed to be a professional? The man has worked ESPN National Radio, does radio every day.
It's intimidating to talk to this show. You know,
it is. We do intimidate
a
little bit.
It's a tough show. Mike in Pensacola writes, and I was thinking about our roster the other day, and there is a lot of viable starting spots open this year on offense and defense. I'm going to give you two or three players in a starting spot, and I want to know who you thought makes the most starts at that position this season. Okay? The first one is right tackle. Vollmer, Gallery, or Marcus Cannon?
Cannon.
Who makes the most starts?
Cannon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
the injury, Vollmer's, the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Center, Dan Connolly or Dan Copen?
Copen.
Dan Copen.
Okay. Wide receiver, Branch or Gaffney?
Branch.
Gaffney.
Okay.
He's wrong.
Cornerback, Dowling or Fonzie Dennard? Or Dennard?
Dowling. I can't say actually.
I know.
I've seen Dennard at all. Like
I have seen him, but not
like
not. A
I don't
lot.
Have a mental image of anything.
He looks more like a safety to me, like body wise.
Will Allen's playing some safety, picked off. Hoyer.
He looks a lot shorter and thicker than I expected.
That's good. Running back, not necessarily starts, but more carries. Shane Vereen or Joseph Addai?
Vereen. Because that role
touches. I would. Go Vereen significantly.
Yeah.
Carries. I'm going to go Vereen, but I'm not feeling. It's going to be spread way out until somebody, if somebody distances himself.
Thanks for reading my email. And if you all are still trying to get guests for the show, why not try to get Kyle Love or Shane Vereen? I think they would be good as fans. They rarely see them do interviews.
We're not going to get any more guests, just so you know.
Why not?
Not due to us. The timing.
Well, the timing, yeah.
Once this ends, they're on break until training camp.
Right.
During training camp, They don't do that type of thing. They're not going to have time to come in here and do an interview. Once the
regular
season starts,
they're in practice. Right. They're out of practice.
I'm still going to try for those Tuesday guys. There's guys around, even though it's their day off.
Oh, that's
and they
possible.
Don't have to do anything. We might be able to.
Mayo's
so
always here.
Brady, McDaniels,
yeah.
Steve Belichick, the ones you've requested already.
Phil in Salt Lake City about the Veet. Sorry, Fred, it's a no.
Seven not funny, zero funny.
You guys don't need to force the greatness. It just happens.
That's
that
true.
Bit needed to go. Love the show. Keep up the great work. No, so look, it's PFW in progress.
And Matt, stop talking.
So we're constantly evolving and making progress.
No, that was a joke, Kevin. I wasn't serious. Somebody actually wrote in and said that.
Somebody wanted you back as the producer just because all you do is stay on Facebook all day and ignore the show.
Let's see.
I may have ad-libbed a little in there.
Mm-mm. No, that was pretty accurate.
Brooklyn Matt's writing in. He said,
"Oh, great! Hey, it wouldn't be a show without Brooklyn Matt."
This whole
fiction,
this whole 2-4 thing is throwing off my freaking chi. Or is it chi?
Why is that? When you usually have gay sex with your boyfriend,
Eric? Yeah. This was the usual 2-hour dead air period between you guys and a swashbuckling Pete Shepard at 4. You know the time slot when you go inside the playbook and hear Rook and Russell Baxter commiserate on each other's shoulders about one being recently divorced and the other losing his ESPN gig.
Let's go.
Did they really do that? I don't know.
I want to go.
I'm not on the air at that hour.
He got it somewhere because it's both true, right? I mean, and Andy, no more mentioning North Carolina State for you. I went there 2 years before moving up here for music business school. I think there's a clause somewhere in the NC State charter wherein I have the right to ban you from using said likeness. I'd like to cut it short today so Paul can have a little bit more cherished mic time.
Paul left.
Paul's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
He went seeking more mic time elsewhere, I think. Music business school? That sounds like one of those, like, University of Phoenix or Kaplan correspondence courses you do over the internet. I don't think Harvard has a music business school.
We're getting emails now.
Well, just so you know, part of the business school at Harvard is music.
I guarantee you there's somebody here listening that...
You know who probably does is, I bet you're like Berkeley or something.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
New England Conservatory, those kind of things.
Yeah. That one's going to bite me in the ass. Yep. That one will come back.
Stephen in Ireland is
you
worried...
You preempted it, though. You're all set.
Is worried about Vince Wilfork's weight. He's wondering...
At this point?
Well, he's wondering down the road.
Yes.
He's asking...
Oh, down the road,
do you think it has... repercussions down the line later in life, whether he does manage to shed the pounds or not when he retires. You know, even if he sheds the pounds, do you think he's done damage at having that weight now?
Well, the issue is diabetes because it's in his family and men of his, I mean, people of his weight, that's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a legit, and I don't think he struggles to keep the weight on.
No.
I don't think he's going to be Matt Light and be down to 250 by the,
he's going to be the other direction. Yeah.
So, I do think that's a legitimate long-term health concern.
He has to worry about it. Brett in Illinois, he's going after Pepe. He says, let me address Matt Lapanzi.
Oh,
that was so original. Oh, my God. I've never heard that before.
The love child of Kathy Bates and Andy Gresh.
Now that was original.
That was good. I'll give that one.
I'm still up for our little fight when I come out that way. The Pillsbury Doughboy really puts the fear of God into me. Anytime, any place, Lapanzi. I was gonna offer to buy you fellas lunch, but with the addition of Lapanzi, not sure anyone other than Warren Buffett could afford that amount of food. Wow. What did you do to Brent in Illinois?
They fought a little.
Remember, he was one saying I could be an NFL ref because I was.
I don't think he was on the show at that point.
He's a high school ref, and he gave us his schedule of how much time he puts in.
No, he was
in.
On because
oh,
it, was like,
email.
It was like the 8-minute long email that Fred read.
Okay.
We were all falling asleep.
All right.
Oh, and you went at him?
So I said, how long does he spend being a douche? And he wanted to fight me, and I said, anytime, anywhere.
I thought it was a well-researched word email. He'll take lunch anytime he wants to buy it. We'll even eliminate Matt if you don't want
to
pay.
You don't have to buy me lunch. It's fine.
Brett in Illinois says, this question is more geared towards Fred. But do you guys think that Ocho and Bill will have the same sort of banter on the field as in the past, now that he's with Miami? And do you think the relationship has soured?
The latter. I think there's a little bit of hurt feelings there.
I don't. I think they'll still be buddy-buddy. I do.
It'll all depend on what Bill really thinks. If Bill thinks he tried and it just didn't work, he'll be fine.
No, you know what it depends on? Whether or not both of them were honest with each other. And I think they were. And I think... You know, I think they'll be fine.
Well, what it really depends on is Ocho doing anything. Because he can't be playful and interact with Bill if he sucks.
Right, if he doesn't get on the field.
If you're not playing or if you're playing and dropping balls, there's no chance.
Right.
If he has 7 catches for 85 yards or something.
Oh, yeah, then he's going to
be
he'll be Mr.
Playful,
Swagger again.
Bill,
and yeah.
Why couldn't you do that here, Bill will say, or something. There could be some good mic'd up stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Brent says also, can you explain why you need to cut someone to put them on IR? I don't get it. That's not true.
Right? Eric, can you explain that?
No,
because I don't really understand it either.
He's talking about the Brad Herman kid
and
the waivers
and Jake Ballard, the Giants.
Oh, there's certain guys if they're not veterans that you have to wait for them to clear waivers.
Yeah, there's a waived/injured
process that they have to go through, and if
I promise to read it in the CBA when I go upstairs. Mm. I don't promise to understand what I read, but I will read it.
Now, I had to look up something in the CBA yesterday for an SPFW, and it wasn't in the section where you would think it would be. It was something about minicamp, and I'm looking on all the minicamp things, and I read it like three or four times, and then finally I'm like, let me look in another section, and I went and found it in somewhere else, but took a while to find it, though.
Ask the league. They have all the answers.
The lawyers at the league.
Yeah, Bill's not happy.
That was his first shot of the year.
I have a feeling he's trying to create his itinerary for these practices, and they're like, no, yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. Right. You can't do that. CBA rule. Can't. And I think he's very frustrated.
He's not used to not getting his own way. He doesn't like being told no.
Right. Chris with the TIN says, I vote no on the veet. It was funny the first
count.
Time.
Is that nine?
Something
not
like
funnies
that.
To zero.
It was funny the first time. You guys don't need filler material.
That's
also,
right.
Fred, nice job with Jeff in Vegas the past couple of weeks. A blow up and a hang up. That's what we're looking for. Hi, Eric. Hi, Paul. Hi, Andy, you suck.
Oh.
Christian doesn't like Andy,
too. Oh. And that's why I like your
it's
mom more.
Right. And Jacob wants to know, who are your favorites to win Euro 2012?
Italy.
That's the soccer. That's
Netherlands. Good.
Orange, go
Italia.
Orange. Now, Euro 2012 is like in between the World Cup.
In between the World Cup.
So every 2 years?
Every 2 years.
Or every 4 years is Euro?
Every 4 years in the 2 year window between the World Cup.
But it's not as big as the World Cup.
Oh, God, no. No, it's the championship
Europe.
For Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the championship for Europe.
Okay.
So we're not there?
No, I guess
we're not.
There.
Because we're not in Europe.
So go Netherlands.
We have the CONCACAF, right?
Not anymore. It's gone, I believe.
CONCACAF is gone?
I think I heard of one of the Revs people say that is no longer.
So what do we have in Americas for the champion of Americas?
Real football and good taste.
No,
no, there's something,
they,
right?
They do have to qualify
start
for the World
the emails
Cup.
Now.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's qualifying, but I think I'm pretty sure I heard a Revs guy say CONCACAF Cup or whatever is gone.
CONCACAF
Cup.
Right. Oh, well. And Todd says, I think Fred needs to test Veet for PFW Nation. That would be comedy.
That would be kind of funny.
How do you know I haven't already?
Oh, that disgusts me.
Hoove writes in. Juvenal.
Juvenal?
He says, bring back the Gillette Harry Balls grooming tip of the day.
One.
We have one.
You
vote.
Have a one. 8-1.
First the Alpacas, now this. You work
the
us up just to knock us down.
The
just kidding. Keep up the great work / entertainment. So I don't really think he did.
No, he didn't. So your one doesn't really exist.
Right. The Green Bay Alpacas.
No, I agree with them. I got rid of it. I'm not arguing. I'm not.
You are a little bit.
No, I am not.
You sound like Paul. I'm not arguing.
I'm not putting up a
I'm
fight.
I'm not yelling.
If I was Paul, I'd keep doing this more now. I'd do two a show just to show them because they're stupid.
But they're not. It wasn't funny.
My brother didn't pull me off, and I'd still be reading those.
I agree. Brian from Vermont writes in, I realize Hernandez isn't quite on the level of Gronkowski. However, do you think he'll see somewhat comparable numbers contract-wise because of his ability to run also?
No.
We're also talking about versatility among the players, and it seems that even though Hernandez lacks the blocking ability of Gronk, he does have the ability to drop back and play the run as we saw last year.
Yeah, for different...
He lined up in the backfield a couple times.
You're not paying him to do anything that he does in the backfield, carrying the football. That's ridiculous.
He's a pass catcher.
And
he's going to get paid for that.
He is, but he's not going to get as much.
No, because he's not a beast
like
Gronk is.
He is not the best. He is more, if he got $54 million, then he's
38.
Yeah, in there.
Wow, look at that.
Something like that. I think he's going to get paid. I think they'll want to keep him.
Just agree?
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
Was that scripted?
Cats are sleeping with dogs. It's
always about sex.
If he has another great year this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see the extension come next offseason before he becomes a free agent.
Well, let's think about who else they got now.
That's what I mean.
Right.
That's why they would take care of their priorities first.
Yeah. Spikes.
Yeah,
Vollmer.
But
Hernandez
is really at this point. Is Spikes more of a priority than Hernandez?
No, but he might be more doable. You also have the ability to get it done. I think Hernandez might want to go to free agency, and he's an interesting one because if he gets to that point, we get to the Jermichael Finley thing where they franchise him as a tight end, and he says, I'm a wide receiver.
Well,
go look at your tape. How many downs did I play lined up wide on 2 feet? And he legitimately could be a groundbreaking type debate.
Mm. Well, and the funny
Stephen
thing is,
Burbank special
2 years ago after McCourty's first year, this is about the time we were thinking we were going to be saying, boy, they're going to need to extend McCourty. And now he's fallen off the map in terms of that.
by that time, I'd be extending him an invitation.
Because I remember after that year, you know, cornerback, that type of ability in the NFL, you want to wrap him up, and everyone was worrying about that. Now we're not worrying about that anymore. Jess writes in, Belichick said Cunningham has had a great offseason. I can't wait to spend all summer getting fired up to watch him play, only to see him getting cut in August.
Well, or June. Because he wasn't out there today. Florio, we are not speculating he got cut. We're just saying he wasn't out there today.
Well, he was in the beginning.
See, I never saw him. I heard people say that.
He was in the beginning, and I believe I didn't see him leave, but I...
Well, the rehab guys are always there in the beginning, then they leave, and then they come back.
Not always. They're not always in the beginning.
Some guys are.
Some guys are, and some guys show up later.
Mankins, well, and they come up in different ways.
Right.
Mankins and Vollmer always come up the stairs out of the
stadium.
Stairs,
some come from the bubble.
White and Slater always come out of the, and Gronk always come out of the bubble. Spikes has been starting practice with the team and going into the bubble.
And
coming back out of the bubble.
I think that's what, Cunningham did, was start with the team and then go to the bubble.
And I'm guessing there's different, you know, massage inside before, you know, Mankins comes out or, you know, it looks like White and Slater are doing the most. They like have cleats on. They have their helmets. They appear sweaty. This guy.
That's the music.
He wants
that's
to end the show.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, suddenly it's
Matt's
show and he says music's playing. We're ending.
He
just
jumps in and talks when he wants.
Good, Matt. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Mini camp continues and will continue through Thursday. So it looks like we'll be starting the show at 2 o'clock again. On Thursday, although you never know, if their schedule changes, so will ours. But look for us at 2 o'clock on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.